shit kicker. Don't you go mistaking me for some whole other body. You got your brains in your dick if you think we're just gonna fade away. We're gonna be here till this thing's finished. How about you, Deputy? Is that gun just for show? Or do you get to shoot people once in a while? Thanks for the beer.
It may be a Republican runoff between GOP incumbent Senator Thad Cochran and Tea Party challenger Chris McDaniel, but to these Democrats allowed by law to vote in this GOP race, party doesn't matter.
I voted for Thad Cochran.
Have you ever voted in a Republican primary before?
I have not.
Who did you vote for?
Thad Cochran.
I'm a lifelong Democrat, registered Democrat.
So why do you like Thad Cochran so much?
You know, he's tested, and I just like what he's...
...of a concerted effort by establishment Republicans to beat back the Tea Party, a pro-Cochran super PAC spending big bucks to get out Democratic votes for Cochran, especially African Americans.
I'm really committed to trying to represent the views and interests of all of the people of Mississippi.
But Republicans nationwide see this not just about Mississippi. It's this year's last big national... How much do you feel pressure personally about that?
Well, I feel that a vote for me is a vote for experienced representation in Washington.
Nervous national Republicans from around the country are all in for Cochran. John McCain was a closer.
Send Thad Cochran, a good and decent and honorable servant.
The Chamber of Commerce airing a Hail Mary TV ad with former star quarterback and Mississippi native Brett Favre.
I encourage you to stand with a proven and respected leader, Thad Cochran.
But they're up against genuine anti-Washington sentiment. Fueled by a candidate who can articulate grassroots frustration.
Senator Cochran has been a liberal Republican for years. He's confirming that now by his outreach.
He has so far, the Ron Paul Liberty fringe people, well, they're no longer just the fringe. Despite what the national media or the RNC is telling you, these people are now the leadership in many states. And it is in the inroads that they're making, as the American conservative pointed out, that have ramifications for the party far beyond August in Tampa. And it is the message of former vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin referring to in a recent interview with Fox's Sean Hannity. Listen.
Mitt Romney's it now? Do you think it's pretty much over?
Well, let me put it this way. I don't want Newt to drop out. I don't want Ron Paul to drop out because I want debate still on the ideas that both of the other candidates have been able to espouse and explain to the country. I want Ron Paul's message about cutting the budget, about the economic woeful times that we are in and what we can do about it. I want those to continue to be discussed, and Newt has some good ideas. We have all of these problems that have got to be faced as one united America. We have got to get back to the Constitution being the blueprint towards that more perfect union. And if we elect constitutional, common sense conservatives who understand that government is not the answer.
Clearly, there is a bigger narrative here than just
without
this
objection,
one.
The previous question is ordered. The question is on the adoption of the resolution. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Any other chair, the ayes have it. The resolution is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
He said, you know, in some ways we kind of had to steal the Republican nomination because our party is Southern, evangelical, and populist. And you're Northern, and you're Mormon, and you're rich. And
said, I want you to know, he said, sir, we're going to attack Iraq. And I said, why? He said, we don't know. He said, I said, well, did they tie Saddam to 9/11? He said, no. He said, but I guess it's they don't know what to do about terrorism, and so they think, but they can attack states, and they want to look strong, and so I guess they think if they take down a state, it will intimidate the terrorists. And, you know, it's like that old saying, he said, if the only tool you have is a hammer, then every problem has to be a nail. Well, I walked out of there pretty upset. And then we attacked Afghanistan. I was pretty happy about that. We should have. And then I came back to the Pentagon about 6 weeks later. I saw the same officer. I said, why haven't we attacked Iraq? We still going to attack Iraq? He said, oh, sir. He says, it's worse than that. He said, he pulled up a piece of paper off his desk. He said, I just got this memo from the Secretary of Defense's office. It says we're going to attack and destroy the governments in seven countries in 5 years. We're going to start with Iraq, and then we're going to move to Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Iran. I said, seven countries in 5 years. I said, is that a classified memo? He said, yes, sir. I said, well, don't show it to me. He was about to show it to me. He said, because I want to talk about it. And I sat on this information for a long time, for about 6 or 8 months. I was so stunned by this, I couldn't begin to talk about it. And I couldn't believe it would really be true.
We've got military tribunals. We've got Gitmo. We're bombing Libya. People who voted for Obama got 4 more years of Bush.
Yeah, what's the joke? They told me if I voted for McCain, we'd be going to war in a third Muslim country.
Yeah. Once you got to Iraq and took it over and took down Saddam Hussein's government, then what are you going to put in its place? That's a very volatile part of the world, and if you take down the central government in Iraq, you can easily end up seeing pieces of Iraq fly off. Part of it the Syrians would like to have to the west. Part of eastern Iraq the Iranians would like to claim, fought over for 8 years. In the north, you've got the Kurds, and if the Kurds spin loose and join with the Kurds in Turkey, then you threaten the territorial integrity of Turkey. It's a quagmire if you go that far. And try
regime change in Iraq would bring about a number of benefits to the region.
We will, in fact, be greeted as liberators.
I think they're in the last throes, if you will, of the insurgency.
Now, Rand Paul, pointing to things like that, wrote in the Wall Street Journal also, many of those clamoring for military action now are the same people who made every false assumption imaginable about the cost, challenge, and purpose of the Iraq war. They have been wrong for so long. Why should we listen to them again? Your response?
With all due respect, John, I was a strong supporter then of going into Iraq. I'm a strong supporter now. Everybody knows what my position is. There's nothing to be argued about there. But if we spend our time debating what happened 11 or 12 years ago, we're going to miss the threat that is growing and that we do face. Rand Paul, with all due respect, is basically an isolationist. He doesn't believe we ought to be involved in that part of the world. I think it's absolutely essential. One of the things I worried about 12 years ago and that I worry about today is that there will be another 9/11 attack, and that the next time it'll be with weapons far deadlier than airline tickets and box cutters. And when we have a situation developing in Pakistan, for example, where there are nuclear weapons, where supposedly that technology has been sold to the North Koreans, at the same time the president announces a complete withdrawal from Afghanistan right next door, that we're missing the boat. We don't understand the nature of the threat, and we're unwilling to deal with it.
And the next time, I think it's likely to be far deadlier than the last one. You can imagine what would happen if somebody could smuggle a nuclear device, put it in a shipping container, and drive it down the beltway outside Washington, D.C.
Unfortunately, it's irrelevant to the circumstances we face now.
I know you keep saying that, but it is relevant to a lot of people who are out there wondering, how did we get here? Is it not relevant to ask, how did we get here?
Well, it's very interesting, but the decision maker has to look at the environment we have now, and that's why I think it's a mistake at this point for the president to put these 300 advisors in place to help the al-Maliki government. I think that ends up in strengthening Iran's hand in Iraq at a time when Iran is the principal threat that we face. And, you know, I couldn't care less what Obama's poll numbers are. The issue is what we should do to protect American interests.
Okay, you know that a lot of people are out there tonight saying, well, weren't you one of the people who was in favor of going into Iraq in the first place, and is that why you don't want to discuss the past 10 years and whether they were worth it?
I'd be happy to discuss the past 10 years, and we can start 10 years before that if you want. But that's not the question that America faces today.
Once you got to Iraq and took it over and took down Saddam Hussein's government, then what are you going to put in its place? That's a very volatile part of the world, and if you take down the central government in Iraq, you can easily end up seeing pieces of Iraq fly off. Part of it the Syrians would like to have to the west. Part of eastern Iraq the Iranians would like to claim, fought over for 8 years. In the north, you've got the Kurds, and if the Kurds spin loose and join with the Kurds in Turkey, then you threaten the territorial integrity of Turkey. It's a quagmire if you go that far and try.
We don't have a vital interest in Iraq, and when the status of forces agreement was denied, he did what he had to do, which was get out and come home.
What do you think of this, David? No, he did not end the war in a way that protects our national security interests. Obama ended the war in a way that protected his re-election interests, not our national security interests. The situation today is worse than it was when he became president in 2009. And if ISIS and Al-Qaeda in Iraq establish an independent state, it will become a nightmare. He was handed a victory, and he squandered it.
George W. Bush left office wanting to end the war. He negotiated the status of forces agreement. The Iraqis would not allow U.S. troops to remain, and so
There's a bigger point, too, which is that this was not a fantastic success handed to President Obama on a plate.
Right.
And President Obama has not handled this well. There is blame to go around. But this idea that certainly Republicans are pushing that everything was going fantastically well right until the moment that Obama took office, that's just a fiction. That's a myth.
So you would subscribe to what was read to you just a moment ago?
I would not.
Yeah.
Would you subscribe to it?
No, but I still think that we have enormous national interests involved in what's going on in Iraq today. It is just a huge issue because it could absolutely contaminate that whole part of the world and the energy.
Should we have gone in the first place?
No.
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 We wouldn't be in this mess, John,
and the same
if we hadn't gone in there under Bush and the neoconservatives and, frankly, Hillary Rodham Clinton.
I voted to go after those individuals responsible for it.
In
but that wasn't... Right, and that wasn't to be meant to be a license to invade every country forever and ever. I mean, that was a gross distortion. The neocons grabbed hold of that, grossly distorted it, and said, this is forever war, and we never have to go back to Congress. Of course, they have been forced to go back to Congress because they overextended the definition. But no, you respond, but you also should try to understand why these things happen. If you don't do that, then it's all for waste. It's all loss of lives in vain. If they don't understand blowback and unintended consequences and interference in the internal affairs of other nations and violating all these countries' borders, we have to understand World War One and who drew up these lines. You know, the French and the British and the Americans drew up these lines.
But you worry
and they
that
ruined this
all
place.
That makes sense.
To spell an imminent threat to our country. But where I disagree with the president is his theory in Libya was that there was an imminent threat to Benghazi. That's not what an imminent threat is. It's an imminent threat to our country. And so what I would say is that the Shiites who are ripping their uniforms off and running need to stand up and fight. And could we assist them in some way? I'm not ruling that out. But I would first wait to see, are the Shiites going to fight for their country or not?
Let me play you something that one of your Republican colleagues said, Senator Marco Rubio. He was talking about why this is important, and he does believe that national security is at stake.
The reason why we care is because we cannot allow a safe haven to develop there that can be used to carry out attacks that can kill Americans, including here in our homeland.
So do you believe that the ISIS is a national security threat to the United States?
Well, do you know where the safe haven is? The safe haven's in Syria. So those who have been... Let me finish. Because the thing is that they would not be empowered in Iraq if we were not providing safe haven in Syria by arming their allies.
So should we go to Syria? I mean, the thing is, we kind of are where we are.
No, we are where we are because we armed the Syrian rebels. We have been fighting alongside Al-Qaeda, fighting alongside ISIS. ISIS is now emboldened and in two countries. But here's the anomaly. We're with ISIS in Syria. We're on the same side of the war. So those who want to get involved to stop ISIS in Iraq are allied with ISIS in Syria. That is the real contradiction to this whole policy.
Right, and many of your Republican colleagues would argue that what we should have done in Syria was get rid of Assad, and that would have stopped ISIS in his tracks.
But we've done this. Look at Libya. We went into Libya and we got rid of that terrible Gaddafi. Now it's a jihadist wonderland over there. There's jihadists everywhere. If we were to get rid of Assad, it would be a jihadist wonderland in Syria. It's now a jihadist wonderland in Iraq, right, precisely because we got over-involved, not because we had too little involvement, but too much involvement.
And here we are. Can a terrorist haven in Iraq, does a terrorist haven in Iraq, which it may be soon, threaten the national security of the U.S.?
Yes or no? Well, it could at some point. I would say right now, if you are a member of ISIS, you're looking at the Shiites right in front of you in the battles you're fighting. I don't believe that ISIS is right now in the middle of a battle saying, I think we're going to send intercontinental ballistic missiles to America. So could they be a threat? Yes. But what I would say
shouldn't
is...
Shouldn't we stop them now?
Well, we should have not armed them. If we wouldn't have armed them in Syria,
that's
maybe they
the
wouldn't
past,
be in Iraq.
Right?
So the past is 6 months ago. The past is still the current as well. It is the present. We are still arming the radical Islamic rebels in Syria. So the homeland, they're going back and forth across the border. They go back into Syria, and that is a homeland that we are helping to defend.
How do you
for
stop
them.
That?
Well, let's not be involved in the Syrian civil war, and let's not be involved in the Iraq civil war. I think that
out altogether.
Well, no. What I would say is that Maliki is an ally. Although here's the thing is, they think they're going to create stability by pushing Maliki out in the middle of a war. So we push him out, and then we have another power vacuum and nobody leading the country at all. What I would say is, and my prediction is, that Maliki will stand up and the Shiites will stand up, that ISIS will not be able to take Baghdad, and there will be a civil war over there, but there'll be a civil war with feckless people on one side that aren't necessarily great allies of ours, who are allies of Iran, and on the other side, allies of Al-Qaeda. You have to ask yourself, are you willing to send your son? Am I willing to send my son to retake back a city, Mosul, that they weren't willing to defend themselves? I'm not willing to send
Mississippi Queen, or more appropriately, Mississippi Rhino Queen, and by queen I mean prostitute. Thad Cochring has been incredibly instrumental in revealing that elected republicards haven't a single thought in their heads but merely do the bidding of the K Street clique. The consultant lobbyist establishment complex controlled GOP rhinotards have once again spent hundreds of millions of dollars to thwart another conservative seat in the federal legislature. From stemming their expansion of unconstitutional government and abdication to globalist financial interests through a dictatorial executive. The GOP does not intend to actually curtail government or illegal executive power, despite John Boehner's recent pandering of some kind of lawsuit. They merely want to control it. This is further evidenced by the fact that they have no problem employing Democrat machine politics to suppress conservative votes and court Democrat, quote, welfare pork barrel voters. The Mississippi GOP Senate runoff is merely the most recent and egregious of these shenanigans that prove that the GOP is not conservative and has no respect for constitutional restraint, except when it comes to rhetorical attacks against the current idiot-in-chief. This is especially true when it comes to Mesopotamia, including Iraq, Syria, and the rest of the Levant, and pretty much the whole planet. While the GOP at least gives lip service to restoring constitutional government when it comes to domestic fiscal issues, although in fact they merely want to run a more, quote, efficient welfare state, they show no fiscal restraint in matters of foreign policy, especially war. In fact, the neocon streak in the GOP views the world through the lens of the warfare state, which is merely the flip side of the, quote, welfare nanny police state. The rhinos are beating the war drums for Iraq War III, which is really just one point in a regional Middle East war and a proxy war against Russia and China, whether hot or cold remains to be seen. As they accuse anyone and everyone who calls for constitutional, fiscal, and moral restraint before committing to more endless war of being an isolationist, they are in fact the ones isolating us. Whether left-wing neocons or right-wing neocons doesn't make a difference. The corporatist media is fully behind the jingoism, and Americans, including the anti-war left, which has been missing in action since 2008, and the nationalistic, patriotic conservatives eat it up. An authentic conservative cannot be pro-big government globally and anti-big government domestically. Those are two lungs with which the Leviathan state breathes. Between Mississippi election fraud and a Mesopotamian war, we ignore the financial avalanche inevitably crashing below our feet following a century of illicit, unconstitutional, and destructive economic warfare waged by the Federal Reserve scheme against Americans and the whole world. Out-of-bounds government engaged in tyranny at home and abroad is only possible with limitless fake money and a confused, apathetic, and fearful populace. Mississippotamia is burning, and only you can be the fire brigade that puts it out. Will you fight the fires? Or are you going to sit back on your ass and allow the arsonists who caused the fire in the first place to lull you into giving up all your liberty in the vain hope that they'll actually put the fires out? You have a choice. Work hard now to further liberty by having real conservative and libertarianish conservatives take over the GOP, or watch the statists in both parties push their corporatist agenda to their benefit and our demise. Now is the last chance to stop those who want to fundamentally transform our republic into an empire abroad and a police state at home. End the destruction of our economy by the Republican-Democrat duopoly and their Keynesian masters at the Federal Reserve by standing with the real conservatives to defeat the lawless hordes of cultural Marxists, statists, collectivists, oligarchs, useful idiots, and their fellow travelers, especially the Democrat socialists. First, you must crush the rhinos for liberty. You are live on Liberty's Thunder with Rex and Trog, irreverent, relevant, and radioactive conservatism with a bite. I'm your host, Rex Fahrenheit, broadcasting to you from the burning Imperial City. Fireman Trog.
And I'm your co-host, broadcasting to you from deep within my cave somewhere in the Cascade Mountains. I don't know where to start. That clip was, if that didn't show the total insanity that is America today, and if people don't get that, then they're just sheep for the slaughter. I don't know how else to explain this stuff sometimes. There's two things, and we say this, I say this a lot, is economics and foreign policy. You said something in your opening statement that was you could do a whole show on. You cannot be a claimed conservative, small government, you know, diffused power, and be for all that, and be for an empire, big government all over the world. You can't, because you are, because they're two diametrically opposed concepts. So that's a wake-up call. That was an incredible statement, and that is a serious wake-up call. You have to ask yourself, what in the hell is the government doing in my name? And it blows me away sometimes, because listening to the Rand conversation with that CNN gal, I think she's one of the people that did one of the debates between Obama and what was that other guy's name? Oh, yeah, Romney. Yeah, I can remember his name. He was such a fly in the pan, come and gone, worthless anyway. But when she was trying to get Rand to, but how, what do we do now? What would you do now as president? And it's amazing to me, people don't understand, is we are doing something now. Right now, we are arming the so-called moderate rebels, which is an oxymoron, in Syria. We are funding and training these guys. In Jordan, they are coming down from all over the Middle East and North Africa through Turkey, where they're getting training and arms. And they all got together and formed ISIS. And now they got enough money and enough arms and enough training from you-know-who that they got like, hell, we're unstoppable. We got $100 million or half a billion. I don't know what they got now, you know. half a billion, three-quarters of $1 billion, you know, a force of 12, 15,000 strong, and just a totally devastated economy in the Middle East and North Africa. So why not go to war? What the hell? You know? Rape, pillage, and plunder all the way, baby. Let's go. Or set a home and live in squalor and poverty, you know, under some dictator. And so we are doing something. And Rand nailed it. He said, yeah, the past 6 months ago and now. It's happening now as we speak. And what amazes me, because I remember the Bush era, and there's a whole bunch of crap that I am not fired up about the Bush era, starting with Iraq and you know, the lies and the neocon agenda to topple seven countries in 5 years because we can. You know, we can go out there and just stomp the shit out of people and destroy their countries and switch governments out and put a new dictator in power because then we can get to the oil or whatever the case. Or we can, you know, be a smear to Russia, or we can cut, you know, keep China on the edge because they are not an energy-rich country and they need a massive amount of import of energy. And a lot of people don't understand this stuff. I research and post on this every frickin' day. But the two main companies in their drilling and developing oil for Iraq are who? Not the U.S. You know, we blew it up. We destroyed it. And then we screwed around. I mean, billions and billions and trillions of dollars went there. And nothing got built. Nothing got fixed. Left that country in a waste, a jihadist wonderland, just like Libya. You know, and just like what would happen in Syria if we did it in Syria. But two main companies in there drilling and developing natural resources, guess who? China and Russia. Because they went in there, made the bids, cut the deals. So there's a lot more going on than Iraq and ISIS and terrorism. You know, you got the neoliberals, you got the neocons, and then you got the rest of us idiots. And these people have an agenda. War, 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 banks, debt, and more war. That's the agenda. After the last 12, 13, 14, 15 years or whatever it's been, if you think about this stuff, that's all the U.S. does anymore. We have no economy, minus 2.9% from a 2.5% growth the month before. So we dropped 5%. Who in the hell is working on that? How many college graduates don't have jobs still? How many are defaults on their loans still? We got an open border. We got tens of thousands of people just flocking across our borders. We can't, you know, we got these kids stacked in these facilities, you know, like a bunch of cattle going to the slaughter. I mean, it's insanity what's going on in this country. We've got the IRS deal. We've got the NSA thing. You know, hell, nobody talks about the AP scandal anymore. You know? Fast and furious, all of it. And here we are putting all of our time and energy trying to get people to gear up for an invasion in Iraq. Why? Because we want to topple the government. Why? Because Saudi wants us to. And Qatar wants us to, because Qatar is a bunch of gas, and they need a pipeline that runs right up through western Iraq, through Syria, into Turkey. That's what it's about. And as long as you've got the Shia in Syria, Iraq, and Iran, it ain't going to happen, because the U.S. basically has kicked the crap out of the Shias for the last 15, 20 years, and so they're not really fired up about the U.S., so they're cutting deals with Russia and China. I mean, it's pretty simple. You know, you can say, oh, well, they're evil. Well, so is Saudi Arabia, but that's our ally, so it's okay. I mean, get your head out of the freaking dirt. Wake up. Who are our allies? Do you ever sit down and put together just pull up an Excel sheet, Word document, whatever turns you crank, you know, and just put out, who are our allies in the world? And who are our enemies? Why are they our enemies? Oh, because they're this, or they're that, or they're totalitarian. Okay, well, then go over to our friends list. Well, they're, oh, my God, they're the same. So it really doesn't frickin' matter, because we'll be in bed with anybody who will do what we want them to do, and we'll use our U.S. petrol trade dollar. That's another big issue in the Middle East. So when you look at all this mess, it's really very simple. Oil, gas, pipelines, and blocking Russia and China. That's our whole foreign policy. You think it's about human rights and human suffering? Bullcrap. And if you still believe that, bullcrap. You think it's about Muslim terrorists? Bullcrap. Where in the hell did Al-Qaeda start? ISIS get its training and its arms. Where did it get its beginning? You know, I mean, there's got to be a point in time where you just wake the hell up and you go, okay, I get it now. Wow, what a mess. Yeah, no kidding. And here at the home front, you know, we're getting ready for, I don't know, most of the experts you and I follow, they're saying 2015. Here it comes, baby. Pow! You know, we've been printing and dumping money on the market and buying government debt. Nobody in the world's buying it anymore. Everybody bought it up, and then they're like going, well, these guys are crazy. This new guy we got in power, he has no desire to fix the underlying economic problems in the country. He's spending like a mad dog. The Fed is printing like a mad dog. Government, you know, the Congress, which is now at 7%, you know, in terms of approval rating, is doing nothing to fix any of the underlying problems in the country. I got all my money tied into the U.S., and it looks really bad, and it looks like they're going to crash again, so I'm moving away. I'm going to quit buying their debt. I'm going to sell off what I have, and I'm going to start making new alliances. That's exactly what's going on all over the world. And the two main countries doing this are Russia and China. So all of a sudden, who's our new enemy? Russia and China. None of this is difficult. The thing is, you've got to quit listening to Fox Noise, CNN, or whoever you love, the talking head so-called conservatives who know nothing about foreign policy except the script they're given to get us into the next war. I don't see one conservative talk radio host that has exposed any of the stuff that Rand just talked about in that interview. Any of them. Not one, Rex. And if you still listen to these people after everything we've been through 9/11, through Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, Syria, Iraq 2, North Africa, we are now militarily in 45 countries in Africa. When the hell did that happen? Well, it happened while you were watching American Idol. That's when it happened. Oh, my wife just made a comment. Sorry. So, you know, here's the point, and this comes back to, unfortunately, my least favorite conversation, Republicans, you know, and this thing, whatever you want to call it, it was supposed to be a midterm election, it was supposed to be a chance for people, for the grassroots, for people who are sick of this insanity, sick of a Republican leadership that's done nothing but allowed Obama to walk all over them, and sick of this stuff, to actually get some fresh blood in there. And we had some pretty good guys running. And I don't know, you know, what the Constitution Party, the Libertarian Party is doing or not doing or whatever, but it would seem to me, for the sake of our country, in those states where you have nobody running, it would have been a good idea to help get a guy like Cuccinelli. Well, yeah, but, you know, he's not quite my guy. Well, how do you like the guy in there now? How do you like him, Rex? You live there. Governor, you know,
I really like him, but I would really like him at the bottom of the James River much better.
Yeah, no Jack. And so, you know, we got Boehner again, we got McConnell again, we got what's that other guy? Oh yeah, Gramnesty again. We got Cochran. We got Cornyn. You know, who's just like McCain. There ain't a war he wouldn't love to be in the middle of. They can't fix a damn thing in this country, but they can sure stick their nose up everybody else's hind end all over the damn world. This empire is collapsing. You know, and it's questionable. And you have to ask yourself, how in the hell did we get here? I thought we were the moral authority of the world when the evil Soviet Union fell. So what's all this toppling governments and these NGOs and sanctions and all this crap we do all over the world when our own internal country is falling apart? Our family unit's falling apart. Religion's under attack. The Bill of Rights is about half gone. You know, we got a president that writes laws from the Oval Office where he puts his feet on the desk out of so much respect for our country. And we got people running around like chickens with their head cut off, scared to death, and putting the same a-holes back in power that gave us what we have right now. And I'm not talking about the Obama era. I'm talking about go back to the Bush era and look at the people who were in power then, and then look at the people that you're putting right back in power. And I honestly, I'm dumbfounded because I thought people would have got some kind of clue after Romney. I really did. This one caught me off guard. You know, if we would have got half of it, I would have said, yeah, well, you know, that was pretty good. But to let five of the worst slime balls vote them right back into office, it's disgusting. I really wish there was another option. I really wish our system in our country was wide open to getting on the ballots, to getting in the debates, and we didn't have this duopoly that the third parties love to talk about. I really wish it was different. I do. But you got to change that, and you got to quit putting these a-holes back into power for a couple seasons while we get the alternate parties up and running to where they can be in the game. And so we're caught in this quagmire, as Mr. Dick was talking about, and it's a freaking mess, and nothing's changed. Nothing's going to change. The American people are turned off. They just shut it off. They're hiding with their head in the sand, don't know what to do. We talk about what to do every week on this show. Maybe, yeah, of course, we don't reach that many people because I'm not Hannity, you know, or Levin or whatever, but, you know, we try to get good information out to people so you can use your brain, not your emotions, so you can be a citizen, not a program sheet for Fox News and the neocons. Every one of the warmongering neocons that are part of the Bush administration have jobs at Fox News. And they have one purpose, world hegemony, this glorious empire. I don't know how they think they're going to get it, but they have this goal. And that's what their goal is, and that's what they work towards every day. War, 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 and their best buds is a defense industry that Eisenhower warned us about. Now, if you don't like all this crap, then do something about it. If you don't mind us, you know, just keep toppling countries one after the other, after the other, after the other, funding terrorists in one country, fighting them in another, funding them in another, fighting them in another, and until we end up in a world war with China and Russia, then what the hell? That you're voting for the right people, because that's what these insane mother bears are leading us to. And if you're okay with that, then there you go. You got your guys. You know, you should, like, get a fan club going for John McCain. You know? But if you're sick of this crap, you have to do something differently. Yeah, right.
The pink panties.
Lindsey Graham is his thing. But anyway, that's my opening. You know, that was an incredible clip you put together. I'm going to have to listen to it again because, you know, it flies by and you're just going from, you know, key point to key point to key point. And hopefully, Rex, hopefully.
Yeah.
Got to change.
Well, something is definitely going to change. Something is definitely going to change, and that was a heck of an opening. The clip, you know, I put it together, and then we listened to it. And the thing is that you start out at like DEFCON 5, and you start listening to the clip, and you're like at DEFCON 4, DEFCON 3, and then by the time you're about 3 minutes in, you're at DEFCON 2, and then Dick Cheney starts running his friggin' mouth, and boom, you're at DEFCON 1. Because if you're not pissed off hearing this stuff, and there's a reason why Chris and I open with these clips, because once we get rolling, re-roll. But these clips are important because you're probably not hearing this stuff put together anywhere else, because what they do on the Fox News is they play a segment and then they rip it apart, or they criticize Cheney like Megan does, and then the next day they, you know, all the neocons spend all day, you know, repairing that. So you're not getting this stuff. And I don't know if, you know, maybe you don't have time, maybe, you know, you're only got one channel or what have you. If you're looking for deep information, get in Chris's group. That's Liberty's Talk on Facebook, Liberty's Talk. And there's a ton of information from multiple sources. Everything has a bias, so you got to have multiple sources so you can cross-check it and get down to the nitty-gritty. What's important about all this? It's real simple.
you are under the impression that there is some difference between the domestic agenda and the foreign policy agenda. And the Republicans right now with the neocons infiltration are playing the wheelhouse of, strong defense, right? Peace through strength. We're all Reaganites. And they want to blow up the world, which is the same thing the Democrats want to do domestically. Oh, well, we're for feeding women and children and taking care of the poor and blah, 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 and programs. And what they're really doing is implementing a police state and making everybody stupid and dependent. It's the same damn thing. What they're doing to the Iraqis and the Syrians and in Mali and all over the world is the same thing they're doing here. A tyranny abroad is a tyranny at home. Every foreign policy move that they're doing is about making profits, about securing resources, and about making things worse for you. And on the right, the so-called right, they eat it up, right? We're going to go get those guys. We're going to take out ISIS. Really? Who's to blame for this ISIS? Who's to blame for it? Well, you can look at your own military-industrial complex for setting it up. Oh, that's crazy, Rex. Those guys are all Muslim jihadis. Yeah, they've been Muslim jihadis for 14 friggin' centuries, trying to kill each other, deciding who's going to be Muhammad's successor, and trying to kill us for just as long. Are they going to stop trying to kill us? No. Does that mean that every Muslim is trying to kill you? No. Maybe 20 to 25% of them are, which is not a small number, by the way. But you know what? As long as they're killing each other over there, that's their business. Let them kill each other. We don't need to help anybody. As Rand Paul said in that opening clip, who are you going to help? We're arming Al-Qaeda in Syria to topple the last secular Arab regime, and then they turn around and use that same training and those same arms to attack the government that we put up when we toppled the other Arab secular regime in Iraq. And we're funding all of it. Just think about that for a second. Then over in Israel, in Palestine, you sell the Israelis your weapons and your F-16s, and they go blow something up, and then we send aid to the Palestinians, and then we fund the Israeli bulldozers that knock someone's house down, and then we send more aid to the Palestinians. We're paying for everything. How about we leave people alone? Let them figure out their own messes. Like, what, we don't have problems here to deal with? This is the problem. The problem is that everybody gets into their favorite little paradigm. And their favorite channel, you know, it's Fox News versus MSLSD, it's Coke versus Pepsi, McDonald's versus Burger King. Pick a side and then plant that flag and defend it. And I understand. You're sitting there at home, you're hearing this stuff, you're thinking, these guys sound crazy. Are these, you know, Paul Bott psychotic libertarians? Are they trying to ruin the Republican Party by making it far too extreme, blah, blah, blah? I could care less about the Republican Party. The Republican Party died in August 2012, period. If anybody thinks otherwise, you're out of your mind. You heard in that opening clip how they treated the delegates. You heard what John Boehner read off the teleprompter. You heard Massachusetts liberal Democrat Mitt Romney practically boast about stealing the nomination. The party's dead. Who cares about it? Well, as Chris said, you kind of sort of have to. Because third parties and independents got no shot. The system is rigged against it. You have to change the system from the ground up. That's local, county, precinct, state. Get busy doing that. But in the meantime, it's a national duopoly, and the right wing is dead. So it's pretty much lefties all around. The interesting thing, though, is that in that dead right wing, there is a small rebel alliance that actually thinks that the Constitution is still the legitimate law of the land, that believes in liberty, that believes in sound money, free markets, fiscal responsibility. You know, all that stuff Republicans say that they are for and then continually undermine. That's your only shot. Until you change the rules, which half of America is too friggin' lazy to get off their ass and do, until you, the ones listening right now, change the rules, that's your shot. And so what do? They cheat. They lie. They steal. They're as good as the Democrats at playing dirty politics, and they are far more willing to spend money and be venomous against conservatives, whether that's Tea Party, libertarianish, whatever, constitutionalist, within their own ranks, than they are willing to go against the other side. She had Jane McCammad, who's so intelligent, he knows, he's been to Syria, he knows these people, hangs out with the guys that are now running ISIS, okay? He ran against Barack Hussein Obama in 2008. And why was Barack Obama running? Pretty much because anybody could have run on the Democrat ticket. And because of how George W. Bush and the rhinos operated between 2000 and 2006, any Democrat would have won. That victory was handed to the Democrats by the rhinos. And what did he do? He barely lifted a finger against Obama, but he sure as shit spit all over anybody who was conservative or Tea Party or libertarian throughout the campaign. 4 years later, same thing. Willard Mitt Romney pretty much said that Obama's a nice guy, and I agree with the president more than anything else, but then he turned his sights on Newt Gingrich, he turned his sights on Ron Paul, and that machine turned harder against conservatives, libertarians, and constitutionalists than any of the Democrats. These people are not your friends. And what Chris and I try to do here every friggin' week is help you understand that you've got to think about things differently. This is about liberty versus tyranny. This is about realism versus some kind of corporatist fantasy. This is about sound money, moral restraint, the rule of law versus the matrix that most Americans are stuck in. And at first, it's a little upsetting. If you've been a good Republican voting for the most conservative, the lesser of two evils, or whatever other bullshit for God knows how long, and you hear this stuff, you start rethinking what you did in the past, and you have to admit that you made a mistake, and that's hard, so maybe you just double down and defend the flag. I'll rally behind the elephants anyway. Pachyderms all the way. Go red team. Well, that's how we got in this friggin' mess. You screwed up before? Hey, maybe you were Romney's supporter last time around. Maybe you think Ron Paul is dangerous. Maybe you didn't want to identify with the Tea Party. Get your head out of your ass and start thinking, because we're not heading in a good direction. That's what Chris and I talk about all the time. It sounds like piss and vinegar, and it's real negative. Well, that's just the way that it is. We didn't make this shit up. This is the way that it is. Put on your big girl panties and stand up and face reality. It sucks. Do something about it. Don't go hide in your church and say, oh, I'm going to pray and ask God what he wants me to do. He wants you to get off your ass and work. That's what he wants you to do. Don't run around, you know, oh, it's a new world order, and there's nothing we can do to stop her. Rothschild is the master puppet master, and it's the Gettys, the Rothschilds, the Queen, the Vatican, and Colonel Sanders before he went teats up. Give me a break. You sound like a nutcase. It's a community of interests that are making money, blowing up the world and rebuilding it, and appropriating resources that have the fiat banking scheme. That age is coming to a close. Their intention is to be masters of the new age. Your intention should be to restore constitutional government. It ain't going to be 1776. It's not going to be 1787. It's not going to be 1860. It's not going to be 1912. It's going to be 2014 and 2015. But the principles of liberty are the same. We're 45 minutes into the opening, and we actually do have to talk about this Mississippi. In case you didn't notice, the title is Mississippitamia Burning. Talking about Mississippi, the Cochran-McDaniel runoff, and the war in Mesopotamia, which you might know as Iraq or Iran, which is really Iraq or Iran, because if when you say Iran, it means you went somewhere real fast, and when you say Iraq, it usually means you're perving on a woman's breasts. It's Iraq and Iran. And I don't care if you know where they are or how to pronounce it or whatever. The only thing that should matter to you is it's none of our damn business. And if they ever crawl out of those sand pits and come over here to try to blow something up, you just kill them. You kill them, you kill them again, you go back to their hole, and you melt it. Turn it into a sea of glass. They'll stop messing with you. Bullies only understand one thing, violence. Stand up to them. But don't go poking a hornet's nest and then wonder why you got stung. That's just stupid. Call the number 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013. We'll take some calls after the mid-show clip, which has some Cochran and some McDaniel in it. The important thing is that you increase the numbers of Americans who love their country don't trust their government. You're not supposed to trust the government. It's a necessary thing. It can be a good thing. But the problem is it's power. And men, even the best of us, even your Rand Pauls, even your Ted Cruz's, even your Ron Pauls, cannot be trusted with power. That's why we have a Constitution. So you're not supposed to trust any of them. But you should help the ones that are standing up for the Constitution, and you should put down the dirty, lying dogs like John Boehner, Lindsey Graham, Kevin McCarthy, Thad Cochran, and all those other pricks that are pretending they're your friends when they're actually your enemy. We want to thank everybody for getting the show out there. Remember, Chris and I do this because we live here, and we don't want this thing to fall apart. And we don't get paid to do it. It costs us money. We don't put advertising on here because we want to get these clips to you. The only reason anybody knows this show exists is because you tell them. So thanks for sharing it on Facebook, tweeting it, posting it on somewhere on the Internet. The best thing is give someone a personal invitation. Ask them to expand their mind. And I don't care where they come from. I don't care if they're Tea Party, traditional Republican, libertarian, libertarian-ish, constitutionalist, even some principled progressives. It doesn't matter. Get them to think differently. It ain't about us versus them in the sense of D versus R and blue versus red. It's about we, the people, versus the elites that want to control our lives. And we already have the blueprint of how to fix it. Problem is, for near a century, we haven't used that power. We don't know how. Let's get busy and learn. Let's make it happen. Let's work our asses off to increase the numbers. And anytime you want, all of our shows are available, all the way back from before the 2012 convention. You just go to blogtalkradio.com, search out Liberty's Thunder. All the shows are right there. You click on the title, it plays right in your browser free of charge. You might have to listen to a commercial. And if you go below the scrolling graphics, you right-click on download. You get an MP3, play it in your MP3-enabled device. Send an email, burn a CD, take it to your Campaign for Liberty meetings, your Tea Party meetings, your Republican Party meetings, your AA meetings. Just get the information out there. It doesn't mean you agree with the way we do things. It doesn't even mean you agree with every point we make. That's the beautiful thing about liberty. We don't have to agree on everything. We only have to be united in the essentials, the Constitution on every issue, every time. We can be different on everything else. All right, before we get into this Mississippi thing, you want to tear into something else, Trog?
Oh, man, where do I start? Hey, I know where to start. Go back to the beginning and start with the first shows. We tracked, and that was, you even started this stuff before I met you, and we tracked everything that was going on through the primary. You know, I've been saying for over 2 years, more, longer, oust all Bush-era rhinos if you want to save your country. Because you said something very important, that the Republicans handed the House and the Senate and the presidency to the Democrats. And it's absolutely true. And if you don't understand that, then you're caught in a paradigm, a Fox noise paradigm, that the Republican Party's all good and Democrat Party's all bad. And that is the mistake of the century. And when you look at the wars, the lies, the neocons, the debt ceiling, 5 debt ceiling increases, no child left behind, the expansion of, you know, government-controlled education, all those things, Medicaid expansion, all that crap, you might as well have Democrats in there. Doesn't matter. Same thing. There was no change. And I really like, and I'm sorry to see him go, but Senator Colburn, I was listening to a little interview he did with, I can't remember who he did it with, but and he was talking about, being interviewed, and they were talking about, you know, the expenditure, the budget, you know, all the out-of-control spending, the waste and fraud, because that's one thing that Senator Colburn used to be a rep, and now he's done in January. And it's sad, because we could use a lot more like him, you know, a lot more Rands, a lot more Cruises, a lot more Lees, a lot more Amashes, a lot more Gowdies, you know, Gohmert, all of them. Because the only way to fix this problem, and you said it clearly, and it's so important to understand this because most people don't understand the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. What was the Bill of Rights set up for? It was the ultimate checks and balances against any tyrannical government taking away your God-given rights. And the Constitution and the way the powers were dispersed, you know, through the horizontal and the vertical, you know, through House of Representatives, Senate, the courts, presidency, dispersed that power. Checks and balances. Then you went down to the states, right down to the sovereign citizen. It was ingenious what our founding fathers put together. But, like Benjamin Franklin said, we gave you a republic if you can hold on to it. The problem with centralized government has always been this way. Corruption. Corruption leads to more corruption. Consolidation of power from that corruption until you have absolute power and you can't tell if it's a red or blue through the shades of gray. And that's where we're at. And we've been at this point for a long time. But America was still prosperous. We were still, you know, a major player in the world. We still made shit here, which we don't anymore. It's all overseas, not all of it, but most of it. And all the money's sitting over there, and it ain't coming back. And people can whine and moan and talk about raising taxes on corporate. Nothing's going to change because there's two power forces. The international conglomerate, well, there's three. The international conglomerate corporations, the central fiat banks, which is it should have failed years ago, and the industrial war complex. That's pretty much the majority of the power structure that controls Washington. That's it. You don't mean crap. Small businesses don't mean crap. Christians don't mean crap. The family unit doesn't mean crap. Your wishes. You know, a state votes, along comes some liberal judge and says, oh, that's unconstitutional, bam. And yet the will of the people doesn't mean crap. And that's where we're at. And it's been coming for a long time, but it's here now, and we have no more wiggle room. That's the important point here. There's no more wiggle room yet left. Now, what's going to happen when the next correction, economic correction comes, and that's a soft word for crash? When that happens, what do you think is going to happen? There's two things that happen. They print more money, they steal your money, and they launch more wars. I mean, all you got to do is go look back. Look at history. History doesn't lie. It's what it was. And this is what we're gearing up for. They're trying to get people focused on going and get the evil bad guys again when they won't fix the evil in this country. And that's the challenge. And the thing is that people are so easily diverted from the important issues. I look at the last 20 items that have crossed our national news. Scandals, abuses of the Constitution, abuses of, you know, the executive branch, whatever. I look at all these things. When was the last time we talked about the 10th one ago? They're coming so fast now. That you can't even, I mean, when was the last time you heard anything about the VA scandal, Rex? That was only 1,000 veterans died because of just pure evil. You know what I'm saying? Pure freaking evil. We don't even talk about it anymore. You know, we're worried about the kids that all flooded across our border, and anybody with a brain knows that that was a planned event. You know, we're more worried about Iraq, and anybody who knows and understands foreign policy and what has been going on in Syria and the Middle East knows that was a planned event by the people you keep putting back in power. That's the sad part of it, is the lack of citizens willing to sit down and say, I need to figure this stuff out, and I need to vote for people who will restore the rule of law, sound economics, maximum freedom, and the Constitution, because that's the only framework of things that have kept this country together for as long as it has. And when those things are gone, because I've said this before, Obamacare, that's just a new Constitution. It has nothing to do with health care. That thing is such a power grab. They have so many things. They can just sit there and write laws all day long. all day long, to the point where through Obamacare they'll tell you what kind of underwear you can wear. I'm serious, man. People don't get this. And liberals, the touchy-feely liberals, they're just insane. You can't reach them. They think Obama's a god. I mean, they just think it's all about, oh, he's saving us. Saving us? Where in the hell are the jobs? Where's the industry? It ain't here. You know? And they're lost. But on the right is a whole subset of stupid people too. You know, that get all geared up and think patriotism is about blowing up another country. Because that's the only way we'll ever have peace. While our country falls apart, focus on America. Because if we don't, it ain't going to be America. It's going to be something else. I don't know what they're going to do with it, but they're going to do something with it. There's a big plan, and it doesn't have you in it, at least the way you think and what's important to you. Because there's that much power consolidated in Washington, D.C. now. You know. So anyway, I just want to throw that in there before you do your next clip. Rock and roll.
Well, that's good stuff. I'm going to go ahead and see if we can screen some calls. Call in number 646-649-1013. this is, it's a, I don't know, almost a 10-minute clip, but this is important. This is, we're now shifting from the sands of Mesopotamia to the swamps of Mississippi, because this is important. This is really important, and it has very little to do with Mississippi, and even less to do with Thad Cochran's Senate seat and whether McDaniel can challenge it or not. This has everything to do with this being a glaring example that all the problems that Chris just talked about stem from the fact that so many people push the lever for their team without thinking about what the hell they're doing or looking at their record or seeing their votes or knowing anything about the Constitution. And those of us who do know, unfortunately, are not making a strong enough case. The vast majority of America agrees with the principles which we fight for. Most people, if they understand what these things are, understand that they want checks and balances, both horizontal and vertical. They want the law enforcement authority in these republics to be the people, which means the militia of the several states, the juries, and the elected sheriffs. You've seen what happens when the government polices itself. Trey Gowdy's been talking about that, and he's in our closing clip too. Okay, when you have them checking on themselves, well, surprisingly, they don't do anything wrong. And if there might be something that they do wrong, well, the evidence disappears. Like, you can't find Lois Lerner's email. They're either in Utah or Fort Meade. The NSA has them. Just get them from there. But they are checking on themselves. This is something people can understand if you explain it to them. People want a sound currency so that your dollar is a dollar as opposed to a dollar being worth 97 and then 67 and then 12 and then 0 cents. Okay, so explain the Federal Reserve. People agree with these principles. They just don't know what to do about it. And since they're so busy, let's face it, life is difficult. Between your kids and your aging parents and your job or your business and going to school and taking care of this, taking care of that, you don't have time. What do most hardworking, middle-class, conservative, libertarian-ish, regular American folk do? They listen to one of the talking idiots on the radio in the car sitting in traffic, or they might pop on the Fox News for a couple of seconds and just get fed neocon propaganda. And even if you know what's going on, sometimes you can't sift through it. If you hear a message 16 times a day repeated over and over and over again, you might start to believe it. Have you ever just found yourself randomly singing a stupid television commercial because you heard it 12 times on television and radio this week? That's how they get you. You got to fight that impulse, and you got to teach others how to fight that impulse and get them on our side. What happened in Mississippi is a glaring example of what lengths they will go to protect the establishment
that is robbing you, redistributing wealth, and blowing up the world while building a police state here so you have no freedoms, no liberty. They will do anything. But the thing is that we still have the power, which is why they're scared. We just don't use it. And so what happened in Tampa in 2012 when some delegates were going to vote their conscience as per the rules, and Romney might have probably got the nomination anyway, but he would have been gotten it after a significant floor fight through a brokered convention, and maybe he would have actually had to do some more conservative-ish things, or at least it could have been an echo of what happened in 76 when the establishment put up their tool, Gerald Ford, and the conservative movement almost put up Ronald Reagan. And after they put Ford in place, he made the blundering mistake of inviting Reagan to make an impromptu speech, and all the delegates were like, oh, crap, we elected the wrong guy. Well, that sucked, and you got 4 years of Jimmy Carter. That worked out real well. But guess what happened in 1980? That's right, a landslide for Reagan. And Democrats crossed over, because remember, the Democrats used to be somewhat conservative, haven't really been conservative since 1924 and lost all semblance of anything like that in 68. But there were some people who were regular blue-class folks who had been Democrats, legacy Democrats, who in 1980 crossed over and voted for Reagan. Well, some Democrats crossed over and voted for Cochran, but not because they agree with him, simply to go vote against McDaniel, based on lies and misinformation, and probably illegal since they had already voted the Democrat primary. See, an open primary like Mississippi allows anybody, registered voter as an independent Democrat, Republican, whatever, to vote in any primary. But it does not allow you to vote in every primary. You pick one for that year, and you voted it. That's not what happened. And now, as they're trying to investigate that, the county clerks are telling the McDaniel people that they have to redact some of the information and won't be available for a couple of weeks. And the friggin' governor, Rhino establishment dickhead, you know, bud buddies with Haley Barbour, wants to certify the election tomorrow. Help out the McDaniel campaign, because this is only going to get worse. We still have primaries coming up. We have the power. They are scared. They are stealing. They are lying. They are cheating. And vast swaths of America that agrees with us isn't thinking about these things, unaware of it, and all they hear about is the crap from television, which is all BS. Remember, at 11 p.m. Eastern, your browser will cut you off. You won't be able to listen to the show. You'll have to call in. Call the number 646-649-1013 if you'd like to chat with Trog and I about Mississippi or Mesopotamia. Give us a call, and I'll try to screen you during this clip. 646-649-1013. We'll see you on the other side.
Haley Barbour's opponent has made a lot of false attacks against him. We deserve better than that. Haley is a Mississippi success story. He built the nation's number one lobbying firm, representing businesses that employ millions of Americans and helping fund universities and hospitals in Mississippi. Haley has experience bringing people together. With Haley, President Bush and our congressional team can get more done for Mississippi than ever before. I'm proud of
Haley. Their job is to solve real problems and to deal with problems in a way that the American people recognize. I may not agree with that guy all the time, but he's trying to do the right thing. We're making progress. And trust the people enough to tell them the truth. That was one of the things that I, when I was chairman of the party, I always tried to emphasize. The American people are strong and tough and smart. They can take the truth. Mm-hmm. Tell them the truth, and they can deal with it. I had to do that after Katrina. And that's what's expected. Common sense truth-telling, and the Republicans are telling people what they know is the
Hello,
truth
neighbor.
About this spending.
The time
spree.
Has come Our to country. Make a stand and say no to the Tea Party, no to their obstruction, no to their disrespectful treatment of the first African-American president. Next Tuesday, June 24th, Tea Party candidate Chris McDaniel is in a runoff against Senator Thad Cochran. If we do nothing, Tea Party candidate Chris McDaniel wins and causes even more problems for President Obama. It pushes for damaging cuts in funding to our public education system. With your help, we can stop this. Please commit to voting against Tea Party candidate Chris McDaniels next Tuesday. Say no to the Tea Party.
What you're talking about, what happened to Virginia?
With Eric Cantor losing his seat.
Well, I haven't really followed that campaign very closely at all.
Really?
Really.
So you have no comment that you want to make? Does that
No, I can make a comment. You asked me what happened. I don't know. I didn't follow that campaign very closely.
Well, Eric Cantor lost his seat as the majority leader.
Yeah, well, it happens. You know, members of Congress, some win, some lose. It's not an automatic proposition that you get reelected just because you've done a good job. Voters make their own decisions, and I respect their judgment. The Tea Party, you know, is something I don't really know a lot about.
You dick!
This is not a debating society that we're in. This is a race for the United States Senate, and the people are going to decide who wins the race, and nothing that I can say is going to make that much difference. It's late in the campaign. I think most everybody has already made up their mind.
And after I made some remarks and had a question and answer period, got a lot of good questions, interesting questions, including the presidential campaign. And I think I surprised them by saying that I really liked both the candidates very much. I thought that we would be well served however the election comes out. And good God, I didn't know people talk that way in Washington.
During my career here in the Senate, where I say I associate myself with those remarks, I do. Thad Cochran is a wonderful man. As the distinguished Republican leader said, he is strong. He doesn't talk very much. He's silent most of the time. He loves the Senate. He's one of the people that I look to for maintaining the dignity of the Senate. The Appropriations Committee, which I've had the pleasure of serving with him since I came to the Senate, he is as dignified in the Senate as he is, I'm sorry, in the Appropriations Committee, as he is in the Senate, as he is every place else. He believes in following regular order. He believes in working through the tedious process the Senate requires. And I look forward to working with him this year. Senator McConnell and I have made a commitment, and Senator Cochran knows this, to do our appropriation bills this year. We're going to work together on a bipartisan basis to get those bills completed. And you, Senator Cochran, are going to be an integral part of our being able to do this. We all have fond memories of Thad Cochran, but my personal feeling of warmth relates to a trip that we took. I took my wife, Landra, and he took his lovely wife, Rose. And we had a wonderful time. Senator Glenn was there leading the delegation. And I'll always remember that, Thad. I'll always remember the relationship of the two of you.
Screw you, you fuck.
As we proceed through the difficult days ahead of us in the Senate, everyone within the sound of my voice should understand that one reason we'll be able to make it through the troubled waters of the Senate is because of Thad Cochran.
GOP fight for Mississippi's U.S. Senate seat is far from over. Now on Tuesday, six-term incumbent Senator Thad Cochran narrowly won the runoff, but his opponent, he's refusing to concede, and he joins me now to explain why. Here for his first TV interview since Tuesday's controversial result, U.S. Senate candidate Chris McDaniel. Chris, welcome back to the program. Good to see you.
Thanks, Sean. Thanks for having me.
All right. I guess the first thing I want to ask is, what was your reaction to this, and more importantly, the campaign? I'll show some of the things that were said about you in the campaign, but what was your reaction to how they campaigned against you?
Well, it was shocking. I'm a two-term state senator. I've been a Republican since I was 13 years old. I've paid my dues. I've gone door to door. I've given money. I consider these men and women to be my friends and colleagues, but desperation and the quest for power pushed them somewhat over the edge. And Tuesday evening, the Republican primary in Mississippi was not decided by Republican voters. It was decided by 35 to 40,000 Democrats, and that's unprecedented and extraordinarily unusual.
Well, so 6,000 votes now separate you. There is some issues about whether or not people that voted in the Democratic primary might have crossed over into this runoff, which would have been illegal. Are you calling for a recount?
It's not so much a recount. We're looking into the issue of whether or not people who participated in the June the 3rd Democratic primary crossed over into the Republican primary this Tuesday night. And we've already found more than 1,000 examples of that in one county alone. So we're talking about widespread irregularities of ineligible voters that should not have been there in the first place. And they were pushed there. This is what's shocking, Sean. They were pushed there by an overt action, an aggressive action on the part of Senator Cochran's campaign that was filled with race baiting, lies, distortions. He literally ran the latter 3 weeks on food stamps. He ran on voter suppression, and he ran on pork. Now, Mississippi is a conservative state, and one would think our party was still a conservative party.
Let me put up on the screen. I have two flyers that were being circulated that we've gotten our hands on here. Now, the first one says, the Tea Party intends to prevent blacks from voting, and then they go on to attack the Tea Party. And then there's racial terms that you, Chris McDaniel, Tea Party, voted against the Mississippi Civil Rights Museum, opposed federal funding for public schools, nursing home photo scandal, made racial comments on a radio show. And we got another one that says Tea Party intends to prevent you from voting, and at the bottom it says Chris McDaniel in D.C. is a step backward for the state of Mississippi. We've come this far. We can't go back now. And then there was this robocall. I want you to respond to all three of these things. Listen to this.
Hello, neighbors. The time has come to make a stand and say no to the Tea Party, no to their obstruction, no to their disrespectful treatment of the first African-American president. Next Tuesday, June 24th, Tea Party candidate Chris McDaniel is in a runoff against Senator Thad Cochran. If we do nothing, Tea Party candidate Chris McDaniel wins and causes even more problems for President Obama.
It goes on longer than that. We're running out of time. Your reaction to those flyers and that robocall, and are you certain it came from Cochran?
Absolutely, and it's absolutely despicable. They did everything in their power to embrace liberal Democrats. Now think about that for a second. If we have an agenda as conservatives, it's to fight with principle and to fight with power and to be strong and courageous. And they say they're going to fight the liberals in Washington, but they embraced the liberals in Mississippi just to win an election. It's the worst style of politicking I can imagine. They did it. They've gotten away with it so far. But
yeah.
That's why we're looking to
vote
around.
Last question. And you won't support Thad Cochran under any circumstances?
That's a great question, Sean. I'm very disappointed right now in his approach, and I'm going to have to pray about it and talk to my family about it. But I never thought they would treat another Republican the way they treated me. I never thought they would go to those measures. I realize that power is daunting. I realize it's intoxicating. But I didn't think it was worth character assassination of a friend.
All right, Chris, thank you and appreciate it.
Unfortunately, that was a clip from Fox News with that moronic cheerleader Hannity, but that's pretty much the only place we can get this stuff, because I'm pretty sure that someone like Chris McDaniel or Rand Paul or Trey Gowdy is not going to call in to Liberty's Thunder. But if you know him and you want him to call in, please give him the number, 646-649-1013. He's surprised that they would treat a fellow Republican that way. I guess he didn't see how they treated Ronald Reagan in the primaries when George H.W. Bush called it voodoo economics, or what Mitt did to Newt in Florida, or what they did to Ron Paul in Tampa. I mean, give me a break. These people are the dirtiest sons of bitches around. They're worse than the Democrats. Look, the Democrats are very clear, right? They're about government being the solution to all problems, even though government is usually the thing creating these friggin' problems. But the Republicans pander to you, to conservatives, libertarians, constitutionalists, and they tell you that they're for smaller government and lower taxes and less regulation and free markets. That's bullcrap. They are not for those things. They are for the same things as the Democrats, only they want to favor different groups. They want to favor different corporations. But they all want to blow up the world in your name, using your children and your money, actually your debt. So, you know, get people to wake up to this stuff, because if we don't do something about it now, it's gone. It's over. I mean, there's going to definitely be a reckoning happening soon. It might even be this year, and I don't know if it'll be war first or economic collapse first or both. We got an invasion on our southern border now, and, oh, the children, blah, blah, blah. Hey, you know what? These children are being misused, and by promoting this activity all we're doing is putting them in harm's way with the coyotes and the sex traffickers and all that kind of stuff, and it's unfortunate. But here's a real simple solution, right? We got our own kids to worry about here. Let the South American countries worry about these kids. They should pay to receive them back, and they should take care of them. They're not refugees. There's no war or ecological disaster going on south of the border. This is pure and simple instigated by Obama and people like Thad Cochran. Thad Cochran is a moron. He is a mouthpiece. He just likes the seat of power. He's a lot like that orange prick in the House and his number two man, McCarthy. All right, these guys just like to hang out at the Old Ebbitt Grill, get drunk, go to the Washington parties, rub elbows with Democrat celebutards and all that crap. And what do? They have the lobbyists from K Street come in and tell them, this is what we want you to vote on, this is what we're going to raise money, this is what you're – and they just go through the motions. They don't stop. They don't think. And when a Republican does, they freak out. Remember what happened last September when Ted Cruz actually did a better job as Speaker of the House than Speaker Bohuner, right? They freaked out on Ted Cruz and Mike Lee. Every time Rand Paul gets up there to talk about a sensible foreign policy, peace through strength, he's the only one that actually understands what Reagan meant and how Reagan worked, right? They go apoplectic and they bring out all the, you know, rhinotards from the crypt like Dick Cheney or, oh, Rand Paul's an isolationist, blah, blah, blah. Give me a break. You got to get through to people. You have to do it. Yeah, I know you're busy. I know it sucks. I know you don't want to do it. Like, you think I want to actually be doing this on a Sunday night? I got better things to do. I don't want to do this. I don't think Chris wants to do this. But we have to, because if you know, you are responsible for telling the others. And you have to tell it to them over and over and over again because they are stuck in their duopoly paradigm and they think that blowing up others is somehow patriotic, and it's not. Okay? Peace through strength does not mean you're intervening all over the world. It means you kick ass when you need to, and you do it quick, and you do it decisively. You don't fund your own enemy. Chris, you want to comment on that that clip, and then we'll bring on a caller?
Yeah, people should have worked harder. 6,000 vote differences. I mean, that's really the thing that you and I, you know, have been talking about since we knew Romney was going to lose. That was a given. And we started talking about the importance of 2014 in retrospect to, you know, in relation to what 2010 did, you know, as a counterbalance to, you know, communism and socialism in our country. yeah, so, you know, you think about it, 6,000 people, that ain't many people. And that's people knocking on doors. That's people. The one thing that frustrates me about some of these decent people running against some of these embedded establishment hacks, it, like what he, McDaniels was saying, was, I didn't expect this. And I'm thinking, why wouldn't you have expected it? Weren't you awake during the 2012 primary? Sometimes I hear people, they see the world through their good eyes. Like, you know, they think the world is the way they view their role and responsibility and character. The world ain't like that. And as long as people keep being surprised at some of the tactics that the Republican establishment will do to destroy somebody who's trying to save our country, we're going to keep losing. You know, that's really the bottom line. You have to understand your enemy. As long as you keep funding terrorists, you're going to have more terrorists. It's kind of pretty simple. You know, you fund the bad guys, they get powerful, they get bold, they start launching out, then you got to deal with them later. You know, I mean, how difficult is that? It seems to be very difficult for our Pentagon and Washington, D.C., and the foreign policy, you know, teams. But it isn't difficult to understand that there's some evil frickin' people in high levels of power. We don't really get into this very deep, but, you know, I mean, term limits would be nice. Then we wouldn't have to deal with this crap. You know, and yet it always seems to come up, and then it gets talked about, then it goes away, because nobody wants to be limited. You have to put a limit on power, because if you don't, power corrupts. It's that simple, even the best of them. And I'm sure some of these guys, and when they first started out, went to Washington to change the world, and probably even Cochran. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I was alive when he first got into Congress. To be honest with you, some of these guys have been in there their whole lives. You know, that should be a sign right there. You know, get rid of them. If they won't term limit themselves like Colburn, then you got to get rid of them. You got to quit voting these people. Never in the history of our country have we ever had a repetitive reelection cycle that we have in the last 15, 20, 30 years. People just are too unplugged from the process that they just go down and vote the R or vote the D or vote the R. That's my team. You know, we're such a sports team-oriented society. And we just throw the lever again. Well, it didn't really matter. Click. Yeah, it does matter. There's people who, you know, fresh young faces who are trying to bring sanity to that hellhole called Washington, D.C. And there's a few guys in there, you know, fighting like tooth and nails. I mean, you think about the amount of press coverage that people like Rand or Cruz or Lee or Amash or whatever get. It's huge. You know why? Because they're making waves. Thank God. You know, this concept. See, and here's another thing. The Tea Party has been assassinated and labeled incorrectly since the beginning. All it was a bunch of people all over the country, you know, no race, no creed, no color, no party, who stood up and said, no more. Been taxed enough already. No more spending. Get a handle on Washington, D.C. That's really where it started from. And actually, it really started in the Bush era. You know, because Bush was off his frickin' rocker, or the people that were re-voting back into power were off their rocker, and he was just signing the bills. You know, saying, I approve. I got these wars going on, so I got to pass this so they'll appropriate my seven countries in 5 year doctrine. And so here we are, you know. If you put them back in, do you think they're going to change because they became conservative or started talking about the Constitution they've never read just to get reelected, that they changed? No. They're liars. They're thieves. They're crooks. They're totally corrupt. And the only way it's going to change is you vote them out or they die in office, because some of these guys been in there 40 freaking years. I mean, talk about apathy for voters. You know, that's got to change. People need to stand up. And running off and saying, well, I'm not going to vote anymore. I'm going to go join a third party and screw them all. Let it all go to hell. Well, it will, because you're not doing anything. And maybe you got a candidate in the state you want to support. Cool. It's your right. But if you don't have a candidate in the state you're in, then what the hell are you doing nothing? You should be supporting some of these people who are trying to save our country. I just don't get that. You know, if somebody says, well, we got to go third party, we got to do this, we got to do that, and I'm like going, yeah, sure, that's a great idea, but if you're going to stand by and let my country burn, you know, because you got some kind of attitude against a party, which is, a party is not evil, people are evil. You know, it's like, that's like the whole gun argument, you know, guns don't kill people, people do. So if you're going to stand here and let this thing go to hell because you got some hair up your tail end, you know, about a party, then why would I respect that? Why would I want to be part of your party? What happens when your party gets power? You know, this is real stuff. Parties all, you know, they're good, they're bad, they go through cycles. You know, they shrink, they grow. You know, they get corrupted. Handful of people always get to the top. They fight to keep that power. It gets ugly. That's why you vote. That's why you get involved, is you flush that system out. It ain't going to flush on its own. Do you think somebody who's making the money they make with the benefits they have and the power circles that they get to run in and all the and the great jobs they get, you know, in whatever, you know, industry or the war industry or whatever, you think they're going to give that up just because they, like, get up and go, oh, I've been in there too long. I'm getting corrupted. Come on. You know, wake up. You're part of the process. You have to get involved. Or don't bitch when it falls. That's all I can say, because, you know, I mean, it's amazing how good people are bitching and posting articles on Facebook all day long, you know, but really, what did you do in 2012 to make sure that didn't happen? Now it's 2014. What are you doing to make sure that we get people in there that will stop the Rhino Republican Democrat protection of Obama? Because this is exactly what's going on. It's a racket, and they're going to do nothing. You think they're going to get rid of Obamacare? You're kidding yourself. You think they're going to get rid of NDAA? In fact, if you don't know what that is, National Defense Authorization Act, with all the spying on citizens and all that power and all that, you know, abuse of the – yeah, I mean, do you think the Republicans are going to get rid of that? No. They vote for it every damn time. They built it.
They built it before Obama was president.
Yeah, and so you think this stuff's just going to go away because people get tired of being corrupt? No. Evil just does not fix itself. So, anyway, that's my input on that. Frustrating,
no, Rex.
It's frustrating.
It's very frustrating.
Cuccinelli was the beginning.
Yeah, well, I mean,
there's no way that guy shouldn't have won.
The Republicans worked against Cuccinelli in this state. They always had, by the way, but when he was my senator, you know, he had a strong grassroots conservative movement, and he outdid the Rhinos every single time. But once he was and they were cool with it for AG, but as soon as he was looking at the governor slot, they got the Rhino bowling. And in fact, Cooch wouldn't have had a chance at even running if it wasn't for the fact that the Commonwealth of Virginia grassroots, the same grassroots that got rid of your Cantor, okay, and this is Tea Party, Liberty Movement, all of them, they forced the Republicans into a convention instead of a primary. See, primaries favor money, they favor the free media, they favor the establishment.
Yeah.
Conventions require people to get up off their ass, travel, pay money, and participate, and you get the people who are aware voting. You know, primaries, you get, you know, anybody who can be swayed, as you can see by that friggin' robocall, which you heard in that clip, which if that didn't piss you off, there is something really wrong with you, all right? They inspired dumbass, low-information voters who probably never even read one word in the U.S. Constitution to go vote for their freebies by voting for a neocon liberal establishment rhino who does whatever K Street tells them to do. That's what happened. So, you know, and if you don't inform people, and look, don't go out there and try to inform committed, you know, Democrats who like the freebies, all right? And don't try to convince a Marxist or try to convince a lobbyist. Go out and get regular middle-class Americans who believe the Republican Party platform is what they want, and they think the Republicans are working for that when, in fact, they are not. All right? Just today, Fire Boehner was trending on Twitter because the libtards grabbed onto it. Why? Because he finally did something that sounds conservative. He threatened to sue the president, so they were firing Boehner. We've been trying to fire Boehner for two friggin' years. What is it, libtards now, the Tea Party? I mean, come on, this is chaos. The whole thing is evolving into chaos because people don't know anything anymore. And if you're listening to the show, it's up to you to inform them. And one of the people that does that is our next caller. But real quick, before I bring Joseph on, I just want to give a little shout-out to the Empress. She just forwarded this phone number for me, so I'm going to call it out, and you get on the phones, 601-359-3150. That's 601-359-3150. That is the phone number for Mississippi Governor Brino. No, not Brino. Well, he is a rhino. Bryant. Mississippi Governor Bryant. He wants to certify the Senate election tomorrow. The investigation is being hampered. It hasn't even happened. And this should be for everybody across the board. I don't even care if you agree with McDaniel or not, or if you're a Republican or not. All right, I'm not a Republican, and I haven't really followed McDaniel all that well because I don't live in Mississippi. But if people are voting illegally, whether it's because they're not citizens or they're dead or they already voted in another party's primary, whatever it is, if people are voting illegally, then that election is not legitimate, and therefore it needs to either be held again or the one that perpetrated the illegal acts needs to be disqualified. And when you have between 15 and 35 or 40,000 liberal Democrat, give me the free shit voters voting for allegedly a conservative Republican against a, quote, Tea Party extremist, something stinks. Now, if all of those are legitimate voters, like these Democrats just suddenly got off their ass and decided, well, I didn't vote in the Republican primary on June 3rd, but I'm really excited about voting in this runoff, fine. But come on, do you really believe that that happened? These people were brought in. Many of them are likely to have voted in the Democrat primary, which makes them ineligible to vote in the Republican runoff. And the very simple fact is some of those numbers are skewy and weird, and there's probably algorithms in the computer voting systems and all that kind of stuff, which is a different story we've talked about another time. But something stinks, and if, in fact, there are 25,000 of them, a mere quarter would be enough of disqualified would be enough for McDaniel to win. This is important because now what they've glommed onto is, hey, we found a way to stop having our rhinos primaried. We not only have Karl Rove's Conservative Victory Project or Conservative Kill Pack and Main Street USA, which, by the way, is working their ass off up in Michigan to get rid of Amash, okay? You better get busy and get some defense in for Amash, all right? They figured out, hey, we can get these Democrats to scare the piss out of them with the racist Tea Party that's going to take away their freebies, and they'll help us defend our rhino. So this is important.
Disgusting.
Mississippi has effects. Yeah. And what's coming up? We got, I think, 2 weeks off on the primaries, but what's coming up? You got Carr. You got Miller up in Alaska. You got Amash in Michigan. There are still some conservatives out there that are fighting, and you have to do the heavy lifting. If you got money, send them money. Don't ever send it to a PAC. Well, I mean, if you know a good PAC, but don't send it to the party. Send it to the candidate. All right? If you don't have money, sacrifice some of your time. Instead of watching, you know, the Kardashian whores on TV or Dancing with the Douchebags or whatever it is you're doing, take a half hour, take an hour, make some phone calls into Michigan, get people to understand that someone like Justin Amash, who's they say he's one of the most liberal Republicans. Justin Amash is a conservative Republican. He's a conservative Republican. He's actually votes for free markets. He actually votes for constitutional rights not to be violated by statute. All right? And he tells you on Facebook and Twitter every vote he made and why he made it. They should all have to do that. But someone like Thad Cochran didn't even know that Eric Cantor had his ass handed to him in Virginia. I don't know much about the Tea Party, but he managed to crush the Tea Party? Really? You believe this shit? Come on. Wake up, people. This isn't a game. It's a full contact sport. Joseph, you are live with Rex and Trog. Hope you
thank you, Rex, for having me on. Thank you. Here's my take on the division within the Republican Party and, in my opinion, why I think Tea Party candidates, time after time, again, are not winning. I am a principal conservative. I don't identify myself as a Republican or a Democrat. Problem is, the conservative movement does not have enough organization, does not have a face for the party, does not have the mechanisms that is necessary to enable Tea Party challengers to win. We've had over 9 Tea Party primary races so far, dating back to March. And I believe only Ben Sasse from Kentucky, he won. Chris McDaniels, he made it to the runoff. But the reason why the Republican Party is so powerful and they're able to counteract the Tea Party is because that is a problem. The Tea Party is not organized, and if you don't have an organized movement, and if you don't have a movement that has a leader to lead the movement, then it's a movement that is not going to go anywhere or get anywhere. And you are correct, Rex. The problem with the average voter is the average voter will believe anything they pretty much hear or see on TV. That is the dynamics of politics. Conservatives never want to have a chance of ousting the Republicans and taking control of the Senate in the future, because it seems that's not going to be probable for 2014. Then we must how can I say, we must relate to how the voters vote and think in order to persuade them to vote for more conservatives. But I don't see that happening if we can't even get any victories or substantial victories.
Yeah, I guess by your silence, Rex, you want me to go.
Yeah,
and I understand what you're saying, and I agree. It's something Rex and I have talked about off and on the air for over 2 years. One of the challenges, one of the great things about the Tea Party, it was pure grassroots. One of the big challenges of that is that lack of organization. You've got some figureheads, and they're not all working together because they all have their own individual agendas. And that's sad because, I don't even want to get into names on people because I don't want to go down that track. But there's some people that I used to have a lot of respect for. Then all of a sudden they're backing some guy to topple a guy who has a great conservative, voting record. And I'm like going, well, what the hell was that move? So everybody's got an agenda. That's the challenge. And so when you say principled conservative, I get what you're talking about because, to me, that's classical liberal. That's what the founding fathers say. Hey, we built this document called the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and we set up this government, for maximum freedom and maximum responsibility of government to the people who are governed, and that's what I'm for. Well, the challenge is when you say Tea Party, it means different thing to different people, and obviously it means something different to liberals because they've been, had the hell scared out of them ever since it had sweeping winds in 2010 that they were evil racists and they were going to cut their welfare benefits, and that's used against them. Well, the Republican elite also, it's like the left has been doing this for 4 years, and so has the elite. The Tea Party, the biggest mistake that the Tea Party made, and I said this, a year and a half ago, was that they wanted to be accepted by the Republican Party. That was the mistake. And they wanted to show that this was the heart and soul of the party and we're the grassroots and we're going to get respect because we handed you all this success. Well, let me tell you how much respect they got. They fired Michael Steele for it. That's how much respect that the elite have for the grassroots of the party, or including Democrats. I mean, not Democrats, but independents who would typically vote for a Republican. They fired the guy who helped. He was the head of the RNC. He handed the RNC the GOP massive success across the board, from local to state to federal level elections. So they fired him because they don't want you to be part of the political process. They want you to shut up, give your money to the GOP, and vote for their puppet. That's what they want. And the Tea Party made a huge mistake when they did that. They didn't understand how ugly they were going to be treated. And they got infiltrated because of that, because they wanted to be part of the Republican Party. And what they should have done is they should have organized and organized big, and set back and said, look, we're good for 10 million votes and tens of millions of dollars, but we ain't giving you to anybody until you toe the line with us and we work things out. That's what they should have done. They didn't do it, and they're paying the price for it today. 2014, everybody's all over the map. We got people, and it's okay on one hand. On the other hand, it clarifies what you were saying. We got, Palin supporting these people and Rand and Cruz both said we're not going to get in any primary situation, because it's a real tricky thing when you're on committees and your, leader is a chief rhino and he can knock you off those committees and they have work to do for the next 4 years.
If there's an incumbent, remember, are getting
that's
the
what
race,
I meant.
There is no incumbent.
Yeah, that's what I meant. They said they weren't going to get in the middle of, two different people fighting over a primary. So, it's a mess. But the reason it's a mess is because, more than anything, because voters have given up. And I understand why, you know, another 8% left the Republican Party. Good. If people just leave and go, if you want my vote, prove to me you're worth voting for, and I'll give my money to the candidate that I want to get elected. That's the only way to defeat these people, you know. And I wish a third party could form and be on all the ballots and blah, blah, blah. We've covered that exhaustively through the last couple of years, you know, of what it's going to take for third parties to be viable. I've interviewed dozens of people from third parties, including, you know, Virgil Goode several times. I'm all for this stuff, but there's a huge challenges because the system's so corrupt, especially at the state levels. And so here we are. And when it's all said and done, you know, we got two more years of Obama. That's the bottom line. And the people that are in power, regardless if, you know, four or five, six of these guys won or not, you know, if they would have won, Tea Party people, and got in there, you still have the same damn leadership and power that's handed Obama everything that he wants. You know, so five more guys, would it have made a difference? Maybe. Maybe not. You know, but the thing is you got Boehner and McCarthy and McConnell and McCain and Graham, and, you know, you got that group, you know. And they control a massive amount of power. So regardless of what happens in 2014, if you don't get the leadership turned over in the House and Senate in the Republican Party, then nothing changes again, even if you voted in 10 Tea Party guys and gals. See, that's one of the challenges. It's multiple levels of things going on that have to be looked at, which really comes back to not so much the parties or the Tea Party or lack of a party, but the people picking up the phone and sending money and voting and picking up the phone when it's time to oust Boehner. That's my input.
Well, Joseph, I think that you made some valid points. You have to meet voters where they are. I mean, you know, if you've got a run-of-the-mill, regular, generally Republican voter who doesn't know about the Federal Reserve, who doesn't really know anybody who, you know, is involved in Tea Party or Liberty Movement, all they get their information from Fox News, and you come running up at them, and the rhinos and the Federal Reserve, blah, they're going to freak out, okay? Especially when you start using the words that are automatically going to elicit an emotional response, Tea Party, neocon, rhino. We use these words because we know what they mean, and frankly, if you're listening to the show, you either A, know what they mean, or B, you're at least amenable to looking them up on our page or in Chris's group, Liberty Stock. But it's real simple. Republicans in name only are those who talk to the Republican platform with which most, not every point by any stretch of the imagination, but most conservatives, libertarianish conservatives, and even conservative libertarians will agree with. But they only talk to it. Everything they do is in the Democrat platform. And when you say neocon, people don't really know what that means. It's a phrase that only came into play during the Bush administration. And, of course, a lot of us who may have initially been for the second Iraq invasion in 2003, okay, you know, have a little trouble letting that go, okay, because, oh, well, we already committed the money and the treasure, we got to save it. No. Explain to them. Neoconservatives are liberals who infiltrated the party in order to push a non-Reagan foreign policy, an aggressive foreign policy that isn't peace through strength, but is weakness through aggression. I got some background noise from somebody. Sounds like water. But in any event, so you got to ease them into it. But as far as a national movement, a leader, we didn't have one with Goldwater. We didn't have one with Reagan. We didn't even have the Internet back then. And the thing about these things is America is based on people getting off their ass and taking matters into their own hands. Now, are there leaders? Sure. I would argue that Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, Trey Gowdy, Louis Gohmert, these are people who are leading what used to be the middle staple of the Republican Party. And we've moved so far to the left that they seem like the right-wing extremists. So bring people back to reality. And of course, there is an important aspect with the national groups, the Freedom Works, the Tea Party Patriots, and all that stuff. But at heart, it's local. Now, that's a little bit more difficult with statewide races, which is why we should repeal the 17th Amendment, and it's why this thing is close in Mississippi, although, as I understand it, Chris is fighting it. There's a hashtag, Fight Chris, Fight. We gave out the Mississippi number, burned the county clerk's offices, get them to really open up that information so we can scrutinize the votes. Do the work. But, you know, look at what happened in Virginia's 7th. Very local, not much money. Even the nationwide, quote, Tea Party groups weren't really all that involved. And the Liberty Movement people and the local Tea Parties crushed Eric Cantor. Scared the crap out of the rhinos, which is why they pulled what they pulled with Thad Cochran. Now, are we going to get it this year? Are we going to get it? It's taken us 100 years to fall this far. We're not going to fix it in one or two election cycles. But we can't stop fighting because something's going to change, and in a big way, and very, very soon. And if we don't have enough of the people who understand the Constitution in place, we're not going to be able to recover from this. And that's why it's important. Now, is it likely that the Republicans get the Senate and maintain the House this year? It's a very good question. Republicans are notorious for snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. But odds are that people are just so disturbed by the IRS scandal you know, some of the other shenanigans and the Obamacare premiums and all that kind of stuff that it's going to be tough for Democrats to win. But the real problem is, which Republicans are going to get the majority? Which Republicans are going to maintain the majority? Boehner, McCarthy, and Scalise, McConnell, and Cochran, and Cronin, Cornyn? You know, that's not much of a victory. But at least if they're like a dog that caught the car, once they catch the car, they might actually have to pony up. And if you've got people in there like Lee and Cruz and Paul, and now you've sent in Sass, and maybe we can send in McDaniel, then that caucus grows and puts pressure on them. And you've seen that they tend to cave when the pressure gets too hot, even if they try backroom shenanigans like Cantor and Boehner had to finally propose a budget to defund Obamacare. Of course, Cantor put in the language that would have given Reid the opportunity to strip it out. That's what caused the ruckus back in September and October. Now, ultimately, the establishment won. But they got scared, and we realized that if you can make it bleed, you can kill it. Rhinos can be killed. Cantor was killed. We got to slay more rhinos. Back to you, Joseph.
Yes, you know, Rex, you do make very good, valid points. I think one of the weakest links of the Tea Party is lack of organization. I think more conservatives would be inclined to support the Tea Party more if they actually had confidence in the movement and actually had confidence that we could win some substantial victory. And I think that is the problem. I know I speak to a lot of conservatives on a daily basis who are big supporters of the conservative movement and want nothing to do with the Republican establishment, but have lost faith in the Tea Party, have lost faith in the Tea Party and its ability to win, because we're just not able to win enough elections, and we're not able to elect enough principal conservatives to the Senate or to the House that can make a difference. And so for as long as that continues, the establishment Republican Guard will remain in power. And that is sad and that is unfortunate, but that is the reality of the matter.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel that way sometimes. I mean, after what I just saw with Mississippi last week, I pretty much just wanted the Republican Party destroyed. But that's cutting your nose off to spite your face. There is no other option. It's either a D or an R. It's either red or blue at the national level, and that's not the way it's supposed to be. And we're going to have to change that. But until we do, you got to do something to at least slow down the tide. But one of the problems we have is that, you know, in this 140-character broadband instant gratification streaming world we live in, we expect immediate results. It doesn't work that way. And so our job is to teach people the history. I mean, look at it this way, right? It took them 80 years to finally get a quasi-permanent, even though it could be undone any time if Congress had any balls, central bank in place. It took them 20 years to bankrupt the country and steal all the gold. It took them another 40 years before they defaulted on gold internationally. You know, so it took them a long time to build the apparatus. It took a number of years for the neocons to move from the left and infiltrate the Republican Party. But look at post-World War II, where there was no conservative movement. Remember, after the Progressive Era, both parties were more or less conservative. In 1924, both the Democrats and the Republicans ran conservative presidential candidates, right? And then we got the Great Depression, and we went into the whole fascist progressive era, and that was pretty much the state of affairs. And the Republicans went along with it and basically thought, hey, we're all New Dealers now, we're all Keynesians now, so let's just go along and run it more efficiently. And it was the post-World War II intellectual conservative movement, your Russell mm-hmm. Kirks, your Bill Buckleys, your Barry Goldwaters, your Ronald Reagans that put it together. Post-World War II, the first foray they got was the Goldwater campaign, and the Republican establishment abandoned him out there, and he got crushed, right? And then it wasn't until 1980, before we got a conservative-ish in the White House. And then it was another 14 years before Gingrich delivered the first majority. And it only took the rhinos 3.5 years to get rid of him, go on a drunken spending spree, compassionate conservatism, and deliver the world to the likes of Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid. So it takes time to get these things done. And the fact is that look at what you got. You got Rand Paul. I mean, could you have imagined that Rand Paul would be a senator 5, 6, 7 years ago? Did you even think it was possible? By the way, folks, you're going to lose the feed, so call in if you want to keep listening live now, 646-649-1013. Otherwise, catch us anytime on blogtalkradio.com/LibertyStunder. So it's really a matter of looking at where we have the victories. Are they enough? No. Was it acceptable what they did in Tampa in 2012? No. Is it acceptable what they did in Mississippi? No. But if we're looking for a savior, a national leader, someone who's going to tell us what to do, that's not a very conservative idea. That's a Democrat idea. They're the ones who run on these top-down things. We're bottom-up people. The problem is that most people don't get off their ass and do something. And that's why it's up to us to inspire them to do it. Chris, I'll let you go, and then we'll try to wrap up.
Well, I lost it, but it came back to me as you were finishing up. Joseph, here's the key. When somebody says, well, yeah, but they're not winning enough, first of all, it's not up to them to win. When somebody puts their butt out on the line and they're not funded by big government, you know, big business, big government, they're working very hard on a shoestring budget. It requires people to help them win. So I understand the frustrations. Don't get me wrong. And there's actually an article that came out with somebody said there's a lot more Tea Party wins than people know about because mainstream media is not going to talk about these guys, and it listed a whole bunch of wins that most people don't hear about because they are winning. But there's another thing. In 2010, the wins were local and state and in the federal government, and they took over a bunch of states. Now, you had Republican governors with mixed states, and then you had sweeping wins in multiple states, and those are the states that are producing the jobs and fixing their budgets and making things happen again. And so you have to look at that. That's extremely successful. Now, here's the key. Americans focus on national politics when in reality it's local and state that makes a difference at the national level. So that's a matter of educating people and getting people to understand that. We may not be winning as much as we should have been, but the reason is that people aren't getting off their butts and doing something. When Cuccinelli won by a few thousand, or lost by a few thousand, when McDaniel lost by 6,000 people, votes, you know, that's pretty sad. That's a lack of involvement. And whining about it doesn't fix it. So when people see, you know, if somebody said that to me, a friend of mine said that to me, I would be like, what in the hell are you talking about? You will help make or break that person winning or losing. How many people have you talked to? Have you sent in your money? You know, have you made the calls? Have you offered to volunteer? You know, in other words, what are you doing besides sitting back on Facebook and watching the outcomes and then bitching about it? See, that's one of my biggest frustrations of this whole thing is apathy in you know, this defeatist attitude. You've got to fight and fight and fight and fight. And Rex made a very good point, and we've talked about it on many shows. It took us 100 years to get here, you know, since the Federal Reserve, senators elected by popular vote, and the IRS. You know, it changed our country. And then we've been in perpetual war ever since. And we've been in perpetual print and inflation ever since. Our society has totally changed. You know, and so we're at a point where we're at that precipice where it's going to go left or right. I mean, we're going to go off the cliff, or we're going to kind of fall a little bit off the cliff and recover. That's where we're at. There's no more wiggle room. So it's fight and fight and fight and fight some more. And it's going to take people being involved. You know, when midterms are figured by 37% of the population and your major votes when you have the presidential election are like 50%. When half your country or two-thirds of your country doesn't even get off their ass and get involved and vote, you know, you got a problem. And it ain't the politician. It's the people. And I've said this many, many times when it comes to, you know, the mindset that people have about Obama this, Obama that, Obama this, Obama that, every day of the week. And I'm thinking he is just part of the problem. He's a long succession of what our country has allowed to happen. So bitching about Obama changes nothing. In fact, our focus for the last 2 years has been on the GOP. Why? Because if your party, and it goes back to a military analogy, if you're fighting an enemy and you're facing them at 1,000 yards, and that's the bad guy and you're the good guys on this side, if you have traitors inside your ranks, is more dangerous than the guy you're facing at 1,000 yards because you have no idea who they are and when they're going to strike. Now, the difference is, I remember the first time I ever used that analogy was I didn't really know who these traitors were. I just figured, you know, a good sweeping goal would be to get rid of all the Bush-era rhinos because they were all part of that six-year debacle, you know, of that era. And that was just a good starting point. But now, you know, a couple years later, we can name names and, you know, we know who they are. And, you know, we've been more, for me, I've been more attuned to it, so I know who these problematic people are. But it goes back to what I said before. They're all Bush-era rhinos. So that still worked as an analogy. But people have got to quit sitting back and bitching and posting Obama news of the day and start focusing on cleaning up the Republican Party until we can get third parties up and running and where we have massive competition. Because, I mean, this whole country is built on the concept of competition, free enterprise, freedom, and yet in our political system we have zero competition. You know, and it's sad, but it is what it is. I remember an old friend of mine used to use that terminology a lot. It used to piss me off, but it is what it is. So either we fight and win and take the victories, take the defeats and say, why was there defeat? Okay, well, they weren't organized enough. Well, then people need to get more organized. You know, they need to get involved. Now, we have two fractions in the would-be Republican voters. You have the Liberty Movement and you have the Tea Party Movement. They don't get along real well, and they need to get along better. And you got the libertarian side of the conservative potential Republican voters. I mean, you got the libertines who, you know, they're stuck where they're stuck in the Libertarian Party. Fine, that's their life, their choice, their problem. But you have a whole swath of people in the independents, which is now I think it's like 57% of the nation or 58% of the nations are independents. They need to know that there's some good people to vote for and back. That's the problem. They went independent because they're sick of the corruption, and the majority of independents do lean towards the conservative vote, so to speak. But the problem is they're not plugged in, so they're not knowing who to support and when. Because there's times when you go, like in my state, I had nobody, no primary situation going on of a good, you know, conservative or Tea Party or Liberty Movement person to vote against, you know, to vote for, to get rid of the RINO. So I was kind of stuck with what I had. But I can reach past my state and help bring focus to other states where people need to get off their asses and go to work. So anyway, that's my input on that, whatever that's worth. Back to you guys.
It's worth a lot because that's what it's all about. Here's the thing, though. We're going to run out of time soon, and I want to make sure that Joseph makes his points, and I appreciate the points that you brought up, Joseph, because I got to tell you something. I feel like you do all the time. I really can't stand the Republican Party, and I can't stand most Republicans because they just pander. I'm talking about even the voters, and you go to the meetings or the mass meetings and the county and stuff like that, and it's just this like insipid pandering to conservative speak when really all they care about is winning. And you hear this meme all the time. A party's job is just winning. That's the purpose of a party, is to win seats. For what purpose? To what end? I mean, you know, winning a seat means nothing if the guy that's going to sit in the seat doesn't give two craps about the Constitution or even a moderate semblance to what the party platform says it is. You know, is the platform really just a piece of propaganda to woo voters, or is it something that the party stands for? Because, frankly, I would like to see no parties or multiple parties or independents, but that's not where we are. And so we got to deal with it as it is. And I think one of the most difficult things about doing this is it's thankless. It's a pain in the butt. It's frustrating. It's angering. It's easier to notice your defeats than your victories. And it can be demoralizing. But that's why we do this every week, and we have been doing it. And God knows I would like to be doing something else, but I live here, and I'm not going to sit back and watch it fall apart, which is why we have to find each other. And the Internet has given us the ability to do this more than ever. And we just have to keep doing that because there are more people that agree with us. And I'm talking about people that run the gamut from moderate-ish conservative Republicans all the way to libertarians who prefer to be voluntarists or ANCAPs. We agree on such a broad array of things that instead of us fighting about, you know, whether you got a right to smoke dope or marry your boyfriend when you're a guy or your girlfriend when you're a girl, any of that stupid stuff, when we've got big issues, the Federal Reserve, the neocon foreign policy, constitutional restraint, term limits, deficits, debt, these are things we all agree on. We have to band together and take the victories where we can and grow our numbers and convince America that we can be great again if we stick to the rules that made us great in the first place. And I think that's where the key is. So I'm going to throw it to you for, you know, your final thoughts, and then Chris and I are going to close it out. But thanks for calling in, Joseph. We always appreciate it. Joseph, you still there? I think we lost Joseph. All right. Well, Joseph, if you're listening or catching this in archive, we appreciate you calling in, and I'm sorry that your call dropped. Chris, you anything you want to throw in there, or you want to go to final thoughts?
I love that. Joseph, and then you're breathing. That was perfect for radio. Yeah.
It's Internet radio.
I just saw a picture of Hillary. It scared me. That was very good, and I think it's very important. I can't even begin to tell people what you and I talk about day to day. You know what I mean? We are frustrated. And the thing of it is, I think where even the greatest frustration comes from the fact we've been talking about this for 2 years. While everybody was focusing on, you know, whether Romney would win or lose, we already knew he was going to lose, and we were focused on 2014 back then. You know, we were setting this up, this conversation for what is and isn't occurring right now in 2014. Ahead of the curve, I told you so, whatever. You know, pat me on the back all you want, but that's not why we did it. We did it because we knew 2014 was going to be important. And again, you know, the conservative Liberty Caucus or, groups, there's such a division and frustration coming out of 2012. And what Joseph said was very true. There wasn't a unity, and they should have been getting a hold of each other and saying, look, we got to win, and we got to defeat the rhinos. To me, it's so simple. You get up in the morning, you go, I'm a constitutionalist. I believe in sound money. I believe in, just wars and sane foreign policy, and I believe in free enterprise and maximum freedom. Well, that's a given. So obviously, the obvious thing is saying, okay, it's obviously need to defeat Democrats if that's what you believe in. So why would I waste any more time and energy on that? It's already a given. That's why I just, on my group, I tell people all the time, I don't want to hear the Obama this, the Obama that crap, because he's not the problem. He's just the current, like you say, meat puppet, socialist, Marxist, big government meat puppet that's in office. He's controlled by the same people who control Bush, by the same people who control Clinton, by the same people who control Bush, by the same people that, it's just it's a never-ending cycle. We have fascism in this country now. Corporatism is fascism. It's where the banks and the big corporations control government, and government tries to control them, okay? And so that's been going on a long time. So that's given. So if you understand all that, then it comes back to, all right, if we want to win and save the country, then we got to get people in there that give a shit about the country, give a crap about the Constitution, give a crap about individual rights, aren't going to vote for stupid stuff like NDAA. They're going to fight this stuff like Amash does, the NSA and all the rest of this, totalitarianism stuff that's going on in our country right now. People who say, there's a saner way to get us back to where we need to get. And you've got to work together to get the best people in there that's possible. And very important, especially with the stuff I'm seeing coming up on 2016, is quit looking for a frickin' savior. It is amazing how easy it is. All they've been doing for the last, 6, 8, 9, month, 10 months, 12 months, is floating people. And they're working up to create this pseudo-conservative challengers to the likes of a guy like Rand Paul. And you can just see the same game they did in 2012 again. And the goal is, how do we bleed off the votes, get all the conservatives and liberty movement people fighting each other so we can slide our rhino right up your nose cavity? And it wasn't nose cavity I was thinking about. But that's what they're going to do. They're going to do the exact same thing they did in 2012 because people haven't learned a damn thing since 2012. The proof? 2014 right now. So in 2016, we need what Joseph was talking about, organized, sane conversation. Quit looking for saviors. There ain't none. There's one. I don't need another. I got one. All right? And focus on the bigger platform issues, because if you don't get our foreign policy fixed and we don't get our economic issues fixed, we're in serious crap. And all these other things people argue about all day long on Facebook ain't going to mean nothing. Nothing. Because really ugly shit can happen. So anyway, that's really my close, pretty much there. I think it was a good show because we never know, what we're going to, you put those clips together, throw them out there, and then we just kind of go off, and some people may like that, some people don't. But, those are my biggest issues, and that's what I talk about. Even though I have multiple threads on the group covering whatever, all these different issues that seem like are, fairly important. But really, the two most important issues are foreign policy and economics, because you don't get those straight, you don't have a country. And all this other stuff's not going to mean anything. Plus, all this other stuff people whine and moan about all day long and post about, Republicans ain't doing a damn thing to stop it, so why get all upset about it? It's just meat for Fox News and the radio talking heads to make their fortunes. Because nothing's going to change if you keep the same leadership and power that we currently have. And I'm not talking about presidency. I'm talking about the House and Senate Republican leadership. If you keep them in power, nothing's going to change. Period. End of report. That's my close.
See you next week. Same time, same place.
There you go. There you go. So apparently you can make a fortune in radio, so what the hell are we doing? Because this costs me time and money, and no one says thank you. That's not true. We got a lot of people that do say thank you, and we appreciate it. We appreciate all your help. When Chris refers to his group, he's talking about Liberty's Talk on Facebook. Get in there if you want to actually see what a a semblance of organization looks like using the insane tool called Facebook. But get in there, Liberty's Talk. And while you're on the Facebook, please check out Liberty's Thunder, our show page. Like it, interact with it. That's where we post broadcast times and any other things we're working on, like this hashtag Fight Chris Fight and hammering the county clerk's offices in Mississippi to not certify the votes before they are investigated. These are important things. This is the work that you can actually do. Look, we appreciate you listening. We appreciate you sharing it. You could be doing a lot of other stuff, and we do this because this is important. And, you know, we don't have all the answers. We're not, you know, geniuses who know everything, but I'll tell you this, what both of us have seen, what both of us know, and what we're trying to convey to you and people who call in like Joseph, who we really appreciate you calling in, is to get the point across that the vast swaths of American people believe in liberty, believe in restrained constitutional government, in a federated republic, in a just war, sound peace through strength foreign policy, in sound money, in fiscal responsibility. And we're seeing none of this stuff, and we feel helpless and dejected. But there are those who are fighting for it, and they need help. Not a single person can do it alone. A group of 20 or 30 or 40 cannot do it alone. It takes much more of us. The enemy being, as Chris said clearly, obviously the Democrats and also the Democrats of the right wing, the rhino-tards, are well-heeled, well-established, basically preferred by the corporations that own and control the media, and well-financed. The power that we have is numbers. There are more of us than there is of them. But most of us don't know it. And that's why we have to increase our ranks and get people involved and teach them why this is important. This isn't some hobby. Political activism is not something you do for fun. It isn't something you do 2 weeks before an election. It's become an all-the-time job. That's why we never stop doing the shows. That's why we're still doing it. Because we need to inform each other. We need to confirm each other. We need to increase our ranks. We need to reach out to people and show them how to work together, right? It isn't about, oh, you know, I'm in the Libertarian Party. I'm the Constitution Party. I'm a constitutional conservative. I'm a libertarianish conservative. I'm a Christian conservative. I'm a pro-life conservative. I'm a Second Amendment conservative. This is how they have managed to get us to identify and to divide us. Put down your pet peeve issue and your favorite candidate and start working on the broad principles that we agree, and target your efforts where your talent is best. If you got money, give it to the candidates. If you've got time, give it to the candidates. Call on their behalf. You can call out of your state. You usually get in touch with the candidates on their website, and they'll tell you who to call and what you can say and how you can help people. Become aware of what's going on. Most importantly, increase our numbers. Get people who say, I'm not really interested in politics, to get interested. Because politics is everything. Not the way it's supposed to be, but that's what it is. You flush your toilet, it's politics. You buy a light bulb, it's politics. Try to travel overseas, it's politics. Try to walk down the street, it's politics. It's all politicized. It's not supposed to be. And if you ever want it to be normal again, you got to work for it. Liberty requires perpetual vigilance. Mississippitamia is burning. There is a conflagration of a war like you've never seen. Most of us breathing today studied World War II as a matter of history. You're about to live through something worse. It doesn't have to happen. World War I happened, and they set the stage for World War II. World War II didn't have to happen. World War III, World War IV, they don't have to happen. But the wheels are rolling in that direction now.
and you're the only one that can do anything about stopping it. Now, does that mean that you're actually going to have to address the foreign policy issue about ISIS and Shia and Sunni and Iraq and Iran? No, okay, because you don't live over there. Your vote won't matter for that war. You're not really going to even affect the issue. You should know what's going on because it's your money and it's tyranny that starts over there and then comes up over here. Or they instigate terrorists or they do a false flag or whatever. But what really matters is understanding that they use the foreign policy issue to fear people and to drum up jingoism and false patriotism, which is really just us versus them nationalism, in order to secure their power here. You're hearing it now. Rand Paul's an isolationist. Rand Paul, eventually people start thinking, Rand Paul's an isolationist. He's going to make us weak. The Muslims are going to kill us if we elect Rand Paul. Boom, he's gone. Great, so now what do you have? Neocon Jebby, neocon Hillary. See how that works? So you have to inform people. Peace through strength is a sound, resolute foreign policy. Ronald Reagan would be closer to Rand Paul today than any other Republican. And even his son, Michael Reagan, agrees with that. These are the things you have to tell people. So Mesopotamia matters because they're using it to scare people over here so that they can secure their neocon foothold in Washington, D.C. Break that open. Inform people. You want sources? You want backup information? When you see the pic on Facebook, for example, of the show, you click on it, the comments, all the articles are there. Get into Chris's group. Everything is right there, organized and easy to get at. Lots of data. Hit us up on Facebook, ask us a question in the group. Liberties Talk. Get in there. So that's what you need to do. That's the Mesopotamia part of Mesopotamia. The other part is Mississippi. It is not over. It is not sour grapes. It was electoral fraud perpetrated Democrat machine style by the Republican establishment against Mississippi's choice of a conservative Republican state senator, two terms, who has been fighting for real sound principles. Forget Tea Party. Forget the labels. All right? He's for smaller government. He's for sound economics. He's for restrained foreign policy. Now, is he going to do all those things? I don't know. Cannot possibly be worse than Thad Cochran. But that's what's happening. And you have to fight for it. And you have to get involved and you have to get people involved. And it sucks sometimes. But the simple fact is, bitching about it or ignoring it is not going to solve the problem. Stand up and be counted. Get others involved. Unite behind the banner of the Constitution. Maximum freedom. Ordered liberty, and let us live our lives together as proud Americans, leading the world by example, not at the end of a gun. Have it so that people are not afraid of our laws because they're arbitrary and capricious. Have it so that people's lives aren't being invaded by an organization that pays out millions of dollars in bonuses in order to steal your money to give it to the Federal Reserve to service a debt that you can never pay back. You don't have to know economics that well. You don't have to know foreign policy that well. You just have to know enough to be able to choose those who are willing to stand up and right the ship. And don't nitpick on Rand Paul and Ted Cruz and Mike Lee and Chris McDaniel and all that stuff. Okay? You're not comparing them to your ideal, perfect libertarian candidate. You're not comparing them to Ron Paul. You're not comparing them to Thomas Jefferson or George Washington. You're comparing them to the CLEC, the consultant lobbyist establishment complex that runs both parties, to the neocon war party, to the Federal Reserve-owned Keynesian party, to the corporatists. That's who you're comparing them to. So if you don't agree with them on every issue, so what? Do you agree with them in principle on the broad issues? Can they do something? Look, they told you Reagan could never make it. They told Gingrich there would never be a conservative Republican majority. Those things happen because of the grassroots. You can fix it again. Is it harder this time? Probably. Are we in more danger than we've ever been? Yes. What are you going to do? Stick your head in the sand, hide in your church, go smoke some pot? Or are you going to get off your ass and work with people who might not be exactly like you? That's the beautiful thing about freedom. We're different. But we can get along on the broad principles. Get people inspired. Make it happen. Sorry we've been a little angry today, but frankly, if you're not pissed off, there's something wrong with you. We're back next Sunday at 9. Got a 20-minute closing clip of some stuff that you may have heard out there or you may not have, but it's all put together here for you. This is the ammunition you need to motivate people to get off their butts and fight for liberty. This is Rex and Trog signing off.
The thunder of liberty never dies.
Before we talk about how to win again, and I know this is the first time I've met many of you, and it's socially inappropriate to share the details of a dream with a group that you just met. I don't know how many of you have a background in psychiatry or psychology, but I did. I had a horrible dream last night, and if you'd give me just a couple of minutes, I'd love to share it with you, and if any of you can interpret it, that'd be great, too. In my dream, John Boehner, Lindsey Graham, and Andy Harris all tragically died and went to heaven the same day. That could happen, I guess. Two of them, for sure. I think it was a lightning bolt hitting a golf cart, but I'm not for sure how they died, but I know that they got to heaven, and St. Peter said, look, I know you're big shots on earth, but the rules up here. You either follow the rules or there are going to be consequences. Well, Speaker Boehner was the first person to break the rules in heaven. He broke into a CVS to steal some cigarettes and some tanning lotion. It's my dream. It happened. Trust me, I'm a lawyer. So in my dream, I see John Boehner, and he is chained to Nancy Pelosi with a 10-foot-long chain. And in a voice as loud as thunder, I hear, John Boehner, you violated the rules of heaven, and this is your punishment for all of eternity. And then I see Lindsey Graham. And Lindsey's running around in heaven wanting to know where John McCain is. I'm not going to get into why McCain wasn't there. That's up for somebody else. But in my dream, Senator Graham was chained to Roseanne Barr with a five-foot-long chain, and a voice as loud as thunder, I hear, Lindsey Graham, you have violated the rules of heaven, and this is your punishment for all of eternity. And this is where I get emotional, because Andy's a friend. Andy's a friend, but in my dream, I see Dr. Andy Harris, and he is chained with a five-foot-long chain to the former supermodel Cindy Crawford. And in a voice as loud as thunder, I hear, Cindy Crawford, you have violated the rules. The ground completely level if it's not at the footstep of a woman called justice. So law is the most equalizing and unifying force in this culture. So what is going to happen to this culture and this republic if we have an administration that selectively chooses which part of the law they're
this
going to enforce?
This is part of the whole theory of George Bush, that he can make laws as he's going along. I disagree with that. I taught the Constitution for 10 years. I believe in the Constitution, and I will obey the Constitution of the United States.
Well, you didn't, say the Supreme Court justices. Senator Mike Lee, who was in those Supreme Court hearings today, joins us now. Senator, he just didn't. And at the time, the White House was pressed on how they could possibly be arguing that a recess appointment made while the Senate was not in recess could be constitutional. And we had the likes of Jay Carney telling us, well, it just was.
That's right. And you have the President of the United States in one segment telling us that he's going to follow the Constitution. And now you've had 13 consecutive instances in which the Supreme Court has concluded unanimously, 9-0, that the President was wrong. Today, they really lowered the boom, and they concluded once and for all that ours is not a government of one. The president tried to make it then, but the Supreme Court smacked him down yet again. It's a good day for America, but it's sad that it had to get to this point, Megan.
You know, Harry Reid is not dissuaded. He came out with a statement today and said as follows. President Obama did the right thing when he made these appointments on behalf of the American people, he says. The NLRB had ceased to function due to Senate Republican obstruction of these three qualified nominees. And he goes on to talk about how the NLRB, you know, it was really suffering, and they needed, you know, people on there to resolve these labor disputes that could go up there between big labor and corporations. He neglects to point out, however, Senator, that the Republicans had tried to fill those very seats. And who was it again who refused to give those candidates votes to get them on the NLRB?
Yeah, well, it was Harry Reid. And look, the fact is the president didn't stop and wait.
But now he's so shocked about what's happening. They need those nominees.
Yeah, he said they needed them. And yet the president didn't even bother to give us a chance to process these nominations first. And it's quite ironic, moreover, Megan, that Harry Reid is talking about how this was a tragic day in American history, that the Supreme Court actually enforced the Constitution. And Harry Reid is talking about how it was so necessary for him to invoke the nuclear option. Really, what he did was to break the Senate rules in order to change the Senate rules.
Could you have imagined how corrupt the Republican establishment was and the kind of race baiting and nasty tactics that were used against you? Did you expect that?
No, not in a million years. You know, these are people that always talk about party unity and party cohesion and talk about how we're supposed to stick together. And they did some of the most despicable things to me and others around me that I've ever seen. And last night, as you know, they pandered to liberal Democrats. They had an orchestrated effort to reach out. They talked about if I was elected, we were going to get rid of food stamps and destroy public schools. And they even made allegations that we were trying to suppress minority votes, which is absurd. But they did all of that with a mindset of getting 35,000 Democrats to cross over and select the Republican nominee for the United States Senate from Mississippi. It's the most disturbing thing that I've ever witnessed. It's the most disturbing thing that I've ever been a part of.
How power-hungry and desperate must these people be to try and prevent you, a Reagan conservative, from coming to the Senate? You know, that's not just Thad Cochran. These are men and women in Washington, D.C. who were scared to death that you might get elected.
Well, it's Haley Barbour. It's Haley Barbour and Thad Cochran, and they're not fighting for principles any longer. This is purely about money and power. And it's an amazing story they tell. They now are going to put on a straight face and talk about being conservatives. And they're going to talk about how we have to fight the conservative fight when that just pulled over 35,000 liberal Democrats to defeat the only conservative in the race. And Mississippians are tired of that doublespeak. We're tired of the backroom deals. We're tired of the corruption. We've seen it for far too many years. And if they think we're done fighting, they're dead wrong. We're going to keep fighting until we expose it. And we're going to start getting rid of some of these guys.
Twice you got more Republican votes in the Republican primary and the Republican runoff than Thad Cochran, yet he's the nominee. Shouldn't something change in the laws in Mississippi so they can't manipulate them this way?
I think so. And Marcus Forson, you know, the first time we won by roughly 2,000 votes. This time, among Republicans, we won by 25,000 votes. That's the difference.
That's a landslide. That's a landslide when you're going up against a 42-year incumbent.
Well, it is a landslide. It would have been a landslide, an 8 to 10 point difference in the polls, but for the fact that they reached out and grabbed 35,000 liberal Democrats and orchestrated everything in their power to get it done, including paying people, including paying walkers, including paying people to vote. And we're going to root this corruption out one way or the other. We're investigated as we speak, and whoever is in the middle of this needs to be exposed.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you.
From the beginning this year, have stayed out of all incumbent races. But I do think it's striking that the race was so close that it took, you saw the Washington Republican establishment put millions of dollars into that race to preserve an incumbent. And they encouraged an awful lot of Democrats to vote in that race and won a razor-thin race. I think that demonstrates that there's a lot of hunger for change. People are frustrated with Washington. And they're hungry for leaders who will stand up and make the case we need to go down.
No to the Tea Party. No to their obstruction. No to their disrespectful treatment of the first African American president. Next Tuesday, June 24th, Tea Party candidate Chris McDaniel is in a runoff against Senator Thad Cochran. If we do nothing, Tea Party candidate Chris McDaniel wins and causes even more problems for President Obama.
The Tea Party, you know, is something I don't really know a lot about.
Our priorities need to focus on U.S. interests. Number one, our top priority should be safeguarding. regarding the Americans who are there on the ground in Iraq. We have estimates show north of 2,000 personnel on the ground there in Iraq, and our very top priority should be making sure they're safe and developing a plan to get them out of there safely and expeditiously. Secondly, we should be assessing the advance of ISIS through the lens of defending U.S. national security interests, and it may well be in our national security interests to degrade the lethality of those terrorists who've stated their intent to create an Islamic caliphate that runs from Syria all the way through Iraq, and once they have done so, to attack Israel, to attack Jordan, and to attack America.
Right.
But critically, any military involvement should be focused on preventing terrorists from attacking us, not on what the Obama administration seems focused on, so-called political reconciliation. Listen, we are not going to resolve a 1,500-year-old civil war between Sunnis and Shiites, and that shouldn't be our focus. Our focus should be on protecting America.
Former Vice President Dick Cheney has been quite critical of this president. He wrote an op-ed this week in which he said, in part, "Rarely has a U.S. president been so wrong about so much at the expense of so many. Too many times to count, Mr. Obama has told us he is ending the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan as though wishing makes it so." Do you think Dick Cheney is a credible critic of this president?
I think the same questions could be asked of those who supported the Iraq war. You know, were they right in their predictions? Were there weapons of mass destruction there? That's what the war was sold on. Was democracy easily achievable? Was the war won in 2005 when many of these people said it was won? They didn't really, I think, understand the civil war that would break out. And what's going on now, I don't blame on President Obama. Has he really got the solution? Maybe there is no solution. But I do blame the Iraq war on the chaos that is in the Middle East. I also blame those who are for the Iraq war for emboldening Iran. These are the same people now who are petrified of what Iran may become, and I understand some of their worry.
You're not a Dick Cheney Republican when it comes to American power in the Middle East.
What I would say is that the war emboldened Iran. Iran is much more of a threat because of the Iraq war than they were before. Before there was a standoff between Sunnis and Shiites. Now there is Iranian hegemony throughout the region.
As a clear and present danger to the United States as a terrorist actor. Do you see that?
I look at it on a personal basis. I ask, do I want to send one of my sons or your son to fight to regain Mosul? And I think, well, yeah, these are nasty terrorists. Shouldn't we want to kill them? But I think, who should want to stop them more? Maybe the people who live there. Should not the Shiites, the Maliki government, should they not stand up? And if they're ripping their uniforms off and fleeing, if they don't think Mosul's worth saving, how am I going to convince my son or your son to die for Mosul? I know they're bad terrorists, and yes, we should prevent them from exporting terror, but I'm not so sure where the clear-cut American interest is.
Well, is the clear-cut American interest to protect America if these are terrorists who designed to hit America?
Right. Well, I think if they are, then maybe we shouldn't be funding their allies and supporting them in Syria. You see, they're emboldened because we've been supporting them. It could be that Assad had wiped these people out months ago. So what we do is we get in a confusing situation, and I personally believe that this group would not be in Iraq and would not be as powerful had we not been supplying their allies in the war, as well as our allies are funding these people. They probably have weapons that were bought either with Saudi money or Qatar money. A lot of the radicals have been getting arms and money from these countries.
To find our way back to the traditions of our founders, we need to understand how freedom and tradition are intertwined. Don Devine writes, and he says, "Freedom needs tradition for law, order, and inspiration. But tradition needs freedom to escape stagnation, coercion, and decline. The great achievement of the Constitution's framers was in providing a means for synthesizing freedom and tradition. America needs to revive tradition. Or as Oz Guinness might say, America needs to revive virtue.
Yes.
Or as Billy Graham might say, America needs to revive the hope that springs eternal from the transcendent teachings of a humble carpenter."
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Government can supply bread, but it can't mend a broken spirit.
Yes.
Mother Teresa was once praised for her social work in India, and she said, "We're not social workers. We do this for Jesus."
Amen. Amen.
No government social worker can claim the same motivation. Citizenship and good government require the involvement of a virtuous people. Your faith and your church are and should be part of the public arena. Yeah. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
Amen. Amen.
Reject any politician who claims that faith can't be part of a public life. As my friend Ralph Reed likes to say, the First Amendment is not about keeping religious people out of government. It's about keeping government out of religion. Now, some seem to think you have to choose one or the other, either liberty or virtue. I think they've got it wrong. Liberty is absolutely essential to virtue. It is our freedom to make individual choices that allows us to be virtuous. This doesn't mean that government cannot or should not reflect our values. In fact, it must. Some seek to separate religious liberty from economic liberty. Some seek to say our values have no place in public policy. That's not the way it should be.